The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
In conversation, 90 minutes of the pro-Brexit, salmon fishing, ledger. Wasn't it a lovely evening? The London Literary Festival, thank you to it. They invited us along to the show, the London Literary Festival. They've got a full schedule of things. They're opening up with Roger Daltrey, an evening with Roger Daltrey, talking about his autobiography. Wasn't it lovely?
It was an absolute belter. What a charming man.
It was so lovely. We both thought he looked like our nans.
Well, he's had hair, very thick, wavy hair.
I thought it was just like my grandma's. I thought it might have been too thick for a man of his age.
No, I don't think so.
It was great. I'm about to fall down a huge Who rabbit hole. That's what I'm about to do. It was lovely. And we got... Well, also, everyone there who paid for a ticket got a free copy of the book. Now, I got a free copy of the book because they sent it to me, because PR people do. And so we met... it was Nick, wasn't it? The first gentleman we met with his partner, whose name escapes me. Sorry.
Oh, Tracy.
Tracy. They're both tiny.
Yes.
Both... When she stood up, he thought, oh, it's this tiny lady. He stood up, whoa, what's going on here? But they were so lovely. And we saw them with the book, and we said, oh, did you get given the book free? They went, yeah, you go over there and you show them your tickets. So we went over there, joined the queue, and showed them the tickets, and they ticked our tickets, and we got a book each.
Yeah.
Two books, right? Which, it turns out, are signed. And then we're in the theatre, and we're looking at the tickets, and I went, hang on a minute. And on the top of the ticket... hang on, that's not it. But read what it says on the top of the ticket.
Oh, you mean the bit in bold?
Yeah, the bit in bold black!
Book not included.
We weren't supposed to get the book!
And it's just above where they've ticked it to say, here's your book. Just goes to show what brass neck can get you.
Man, I love that. I love Roger Daltrey. And I wish I'd seen The Who on the last tour they did. I'm going to go and... Next, if they ever do a show again, I'm going. I've seen them a few times. I've introduced The Who on stage. The problem was, when I introduced The Who on stage, it was at the Royal Albert Hall. This is a true story. I don't know if I've mentioned it before.
Oh, once or twice.
I got very, very nervous. And I've got an actual recording of what I said. And I wanted to say, ladies and gentlemen... would you please welcome not one of the greatest rock and roll bands in the world, but the greatest rock and roll band in the world, The Who. This is what he came out as. I got tongue-tied. So...
I'm sure no one noticed.
No one noticed. I'm going to do a lot of phoning out tonight. You're welcome to phone in. I'm going to do a lot of phoning out. Last year, what award did I win at the Arias?
Best speech presenter, non-breakfast.
The best speech presenter, non-breakfast,
goal.
Was me. Last year, me and Kath went up on stage and we won it. We caned it. We won it. It was a joy. That award now takes pride of place on my mantelpiece, windowsill in the new house. I'm now calling up the guy that won it this year.
Yeah, and strangely, he's no longer answering our call.
You've changed, Dealey! You've changed, Dealey!
In the last half hour.
Why won't he answer our calls?
It might be noisy.
Shut up, man. Let's do it. He won't recognise
my number.
You might
have it on silent.
No, there's nothing about that man that's silent. Let's see. Let's do it from my phone. Although he won't know my new number. I deliberately didn't give it to him.
Why don't you message him?
You could do that.
Yeah.
So Justin Dealey won it, who we used to work with. And I was gutted that I didn't get nominated. Honestly, I was genuinely hurt I didn't get nominated.
That entry that we put in, I thought was better than last year's. But
and I know Eamon was in that category, and I'm really sorry, brother Eamon. I'm sorry, but I've known Justin for a long time. You've known him for even longer. I'll send him a little message. I couldn't be more thrilled. It's Ian Lee. Answer my call, you dick. There we go. We'll send that to him. Oh, who is... Someone on my home phone. Hang on a minute. This is so annoying. All day I've been plagued with phone calls.
How did they get your number?
Yeah, who is this and how did you get my home number? Exactly. Hang up, coward. This morning, turned the computer on at 9:30. I had my youngest boy in bed with me. The phone rang. It's some pervert. I'm the biggest fan, Ian. My boy jumped out of bed and ran out into the hallway. He was looking through the door going, who is it? I said, don't worry. Who is this? How did you get my number? I'm calling the police. We'll try Justin a bit later on. It'd be nice to big him up. Right. Other people I want to phone tonight. I want to phone up Canada. I want to see how wasted Canada is now.
Oh, yeah.
The weed is legal, man. I want to phone up Canada and just see how that's what they're going to be like. They're going to be mashed up. A good, well done, them. Who is this and how did you get my number?
You are a rogue broadcaster.
I know you're John from Islington.
John.
I know you're John from Islington. He said rogue, yeah?
Yes.
That's all right. That's actually a compliment. From that guy?
Mm-hmm.
A compliment? So we'll... 03444991000. 1000. 03444991000. 1000. Don't do the second 1000.
It doesn't matter. It won't count anyway.
It won't count.
Who is this?
Who is this? Right. Hit, right. You're all tosspots. 03. Who is this and how did you get my number? Gets me so angry. Whoever posted my home phone number, getting your phone number changed, it takes 6 weeks. 6 weeks to change a home phone number. So whoever thought it was funny to do, and it costs £129 plus VAT. So whoever thought it would be funny... yeah, what do you want? So whoever thought it would be funny to release my private... home phone number onto the internet. Well, it's not funny. It's actually caused me mental distress and costing me financial money. Money. 03444991000. This evening I want to talk about songs that are brilliant, but you've heard too many times. I had a wonderful bit of music last night.
Music in London.
The Pink Panther theme.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great bit of music. Ba-dum, ba-dum, Mancini, where? Oh, that weren't bad. That because the composer's name was Henry Mancini. Sam, I'll explain that. She said, "Man, try and look interested." Son, what's his problem? He's doing too many shifts.
He's waiting for one of the calf funnies. That's one of the he likes. Funnies.
Yeah, all right. Let's make that go viral. Another virus to add to your collection.
That is
a viri.
That is not true.
So songs that you've that are brilliant, but you've heard too many times. We sometimes do a thing on here where we listen to a song that we know so well, and I ask you to listen to it with brand new ears, like you've never heard it before. And it can be some experience. We've done it with Bridge Over Troubled Water. I think we've done it with Good Vibrations from the Beach Boys. Right, hello, yes, what do you want? Hang up. You're going to hang up, aren't you? Yeah, we go. Right, thanks very much indeed. Great fun, guys. Well, here's the thing. You're all losers. You're all absolute losers. So bits of music that you have you've heard too many times, but actually they're brilliant. I'm going straight in there with the Pink Panther theme by Henry Mancini. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing about the Pink Panther cartoons. They weren't funny, but what was funny was the Inspector Clouseau cartoon. Do you remember the cartoon of Inspector Clouseau? Oh, mate.
Do I remember it, or do I just remember the Inspector Clouseau that used to be on the front and back of
It was the same
films.
Animation. It was the same animation, but
yeah,
he had like little...
I don't think I ever saw the...
He had little adventures. And who was his silly little friend? He had a silly friend in the cartoons. They were funny, man. But the Pink Panther was great.
Pink Panther music was great, but I...
The Rinky-Dink Panther, the Chinky-Dink Panther.
I like the bit that went... Do, 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 do,
do. Yeah, I don't know that
bit.
Well, now I'm thinking of a better song. Mm-hmm. Well, here he is, the Pink Panther, the Rinky-Dink Panther.
Wasn't he a panther
ever so pink? He really was a groovy guy. He was a gentleman, a scholar, what an acrobat. Now here he was, the Pink Panther. Well, this sums us up, I think, philosophically. Mm-hmm. I'm singing the opening theme to the Pink Panther. You're singing the closing theme. You're singing the closing theme. And I think that says a lot about... the fact that you're old and dying. I'm young and virile, and I'm coming.
Oh, God.
And he would get into, like, a sports car, wouldn't he?
Yeah, it was a really cool... I thought it was supposed to be a cool car, but now if you saw it as an adult, you go, what a prick.
No, you wouldn't.
You would.
Don't call the Pink Panther a prick.
How are you going to park that in Tesco?
Don't call the Pink Panther a prick.
Well...
Jeez, that is outrageous.
Show off, isn't it?
So that's the show tonight, guys. We're going to call up Canada and see how high they are. We're going to talk to you about songs and... Oh, there's a couple of ghost stories in the papers. Oh, I want to read to you bits from an interview as well with Marianne Faithfull. We'll find that. You find it because you'll be good at reading it. And I want to give the writer full credit as well, because there's a great interview that Will Storr, friend of the show, Will Storr retweeted. I think it was in The Guardian, maybe The Observer. An interview with Marianne Faithfull. It's one of those interviews where the subject is quite rude to the journalist, and the journalist lays it all out. It is a great article. Oh, you can call in about those things and anything else as well. By the way, can I ask you a question? How do you think Brexit's going? 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000. If I do this, this should work now. This should work. Let's see if this is going to work. Sometimes it doesn't work. Is that working? Why won't that ring? Is that ringing?
Hello?
Is that Justin Dealey?
Ian, how are you, boy?
Yeah! Dealey! Hey, buddy, me and Kath wanted to say we are so proud of you, man!
Congratulations.
Now, before any F-bombs come out, are we live on air?
Yes, we're live on air, so just watch it. Watch the casual racism, watch the description of male genitalia, watch it. How you doing, man?
Oh, man. I've missed these days, man.
Well, this is it.
These days.
For those who don't know, me, Kath and Justin and some weird kid called Kelly Betts did a breakfast show in the BBC years and years ago. It ended terribly. Last year, I won Best Speech Presenter on Breakfast, and I couldn't be prouder. This year, Justin Dealey's won it, man. We love you.
Oh, man, all that talent on one show. All that talent.
And they split us up. How are you? Did you know you're going to win? Was it a surprise?
It was a complete surprise. Can I be honest with you? I've had a few drinky poos.
That's how you won it.
I had no idea. I mean, like, 2 weeks ago I got married.
Oh, of course you did. Congratulations, man.
Thank you. Promise you, hand on heart, I was writing the script during the dinner.
Yeah.
That's how far behind I was. There was no script for tonight, so I just kind of went up on the stage and said, thanks very much. And there was somebody years ago who said to me, you're only going to win an award at one of these radio dudes. No, let me rephrase that. You're only going to go to one of these radio awards if you're cleaning the toilets.
Oh! Who said that? Was that girl with the big boobs that used to work with us?
No.
What was her name?
I can't remember.
She lived in a B&B.
Who's that?
Who?
You remember, we were talking about her the other day.
Oh, she wouldn't have said that.
What was her name?
Dashy.
Dashy? No, it wasn't Dashy.
Okay.
Dashy was delightful. Dashy. She okay. wouldn't say
all right.
that.
All right, go on. We interrupted Justin's story.
It wasn't her. So I just kind of went up and I said, I'd like to kind of, you know, dedicate this award to that person. I've got closure. Thank you very much.
He used it to pwn somebody. I love it.
Of course he did.
I love it. Well, the question is on everyone's lips, of course, is how does that make you feel as a person?
It makes me feel good, and I'm kind of, at the moment, I'm outside the Leeds Arena, I'm waiting for all the big national networks, I'm about 6'4", I'm in a three-piece black suit, I've got a pint of beer, a vape stick in one hand as well. Come and talk to me, guys.
Oh, wonderful. Well, listen, when are you going to ring your wife for the ladies' perspective?
These are jokes for five people, but I love it.
People won't get this. They won't get this. The lady's perspective, well, I've got to say, I found my wife earlier on,
yeah,
but she didn't answer the phone because she's having her nails done. What's that all about?
At this time of night? Nighttime nails?
Listen, you disgust me. I've won the award. She should be proud. It's a great night. And
Justin?
It's...
Listen, we're losing you a little bit. I just want to play a couple of greatest hits for you. Here we go. These are some of Justin's greatest moments.
It's like a killing a bee with a bazooka.
Knockers are better.
Stetson.
That all comes from the mind of Justin. Brother, we're so proud of you, man. Congratulations.
Oh, well done, Justin.
He's
I owe you that burger. Let's meet up.
Let's do it, man. Let's
Yay.
Do it. If you can fit us into your busy schedule, Mr. Awards winner. Lots of love, man. We'll speak to you soon. Take care. Bye. What a night. Some of you will know the history, and we did a show with Justin, and he is like a broadcasting machine. You give him, he would go out and do the Vox Pops on our breakfast show. And you'd say, right, can we get Vox Pops on if you ever stroked an elephant? And he'd come back 20 minutes later with a 3-minute package and say, oh, also while I was out there, I met someone who pulls their own teeth out, and I've got a video of it. He did. He actually did. And he won it. And I know Eamon was up for it. And I'm really sorry, Eamon. That would have been great if you'd have won it. I'm a big fan, as you know. But I've known Justin for a long, long time. And I could not be prouder.
And I also know how much this will mean to him.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
Justin has been at that station and been the backbone of that station for years. He's wonderful.
Well done, man. I'm so proud of you. Right, onwards and upwards. Let's go to Ryan. Good evening, Ryan.
Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm very, very well, Ryan. What have you got for us tonight?
Well, I don't normally listen this late. I do listen to talk radio all the time, normally during the day, and I'm travelling.
Yeah.
So I literally flicked over and pretty much was on the back end of the Pink Panther calling him a dirty word conversation. So I'm intrigued because I love phoning the radio. What can I actually say past what time at night?
Okay, here, let me give you the words you can't say, right? You can't say F.
Yeah.
You can do one S, but you've got to do it quickly. You can't say C, and you can't really say B. We get told off for B, and you certainly can't say W.
You can't say W?
Oh, that's ruined it for him! You can't say W, I'm afraid, Ryan. No, W's are out.
Okay, well, I tend to use that certain times anyway,
but
it's not normally when addressing you lot, I would have thought.
Well.
Okay. Oh, that's all right, So you can say pretty much anything else then. So calling the Pink Panther a prick is fine.
Well,
I think it's justified.
I think so. It's a very good word anyway. It's underused.
Do you know what? It is underused. And we've got to be careful when you do phone-ins about rude words. But it is underused. And I don't know if you Ryan, we've gone a lot over to the American swear words. Like you MF, you know, and you see sucker. What is wrong with... What is wrong? I'm a big fan, Ryan, as it sounds like you are, of the W words. The W word, the hand gesture, and not this sticking up this middle finger. Wait, no, it's the V's. It's flicking the V's.
And as a northerner, I really, really love every now and again dropping, you know, a juicy, calling someone a get.
Yeah, yeah.
A get's all right. A get's really not anything, I suppose. I've got two young daughters. One of them, the oldest one, which is eight, she started speaking. She did her first word, said Dada, at 6 months old. So she's been non-stop since then. She's been talking for ages. So we give her bloody very early. Oh, and that used to really throw parents and people out. She'd go, well, she would say bloody hell, but she'd say, oh, my bloody so-and-so.
Wow. God, you're what we call in our house common. That's those are incredible scenes, Ryan, for someone so young.
I know, but the thing is, I did give it to her at 6 months old. I give it to her. She grasped sarcasm by, 18 months. I'm so proud of her.
Oh, that is beautiful.
I know. And I'm slowly training her because I think, well, what better tool can you have to get through life other than sarcasm? Because if you can throw off any situation, life might throw at you. So, sod it. I'm going to give her that and I'm training them well.
How old is she? 8 months now, did you say?
No, she's 8 years old.
8 years old. 8 months. Yeah. You're sarcastic. That's a great. My 6 and a half. I've been trying to explain to my 6 and a half and 8 and a half. I've been trying to explain sarcasm to them because I'll say something and they'll say, "Do you really mean that?" And I go, "No. I'm being sarcastic."
Oh, we've got the best joke about that at the moment.
Go on.
Welcome to Sarcasm Club. Light your shirt.
Don't get it.
I've got to give up sarcasm next week. Yeah, right.
That's there we go. I get that one. I think I'd need to listen to it now. Ryan, listen, my kids are going to be in the studio tomorrow night, so I don't want you phoning up because I don't want them getting any of your bad language. You're welcome to call in Monday. I don't want you speaking to my boys, Ryan. All right.
I'll tell you what, I conduct myself properly around everyone
sure
else's
you do.
Children. I only swear at my own.
There we go. You're a good man.
He's got principles.
Hey, listen, man, thank you so much for sticking around a little bit longer and not only listening to us, but giving us a call. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Cheers fella. Take care. Ryan. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I just sound a bit like...
Bye-bye, darling. Claire Rayner.
That was it. Bye-bye, lovies. Thank you, man. It's nice. Because here's the thing, right? Loads of good people on this station. You've got Julie Hartley-Brewer, who I'm now friends with. You've got Eamon. You've got James Whale. And loads of people kind of, you know, tune in for those, because they're big names, and then tune out again. But the fact that sometimes people, you know, listen to James Whale and maybe they leave the radio on 20 minutes longer, or they fall asleep and they wake up and it's us, or they listen to Julia in the morning and go, well, I wonder what's on, you know, late at night. Let's see. The fact that people listen to us, I find amazing and is brilliant. But then as well, they decide to take it one stage further and give us a call.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, everybody that calls in. Let's go to G. Good evening, G.
Evening, boss.
Yep.
I have got an idea for a show.
Okay, well, tell me when it's on and I'll watch it if I'm around. What is it?
Swear word roulette.
Okay, and how does that work?
You grab a set of Scrabble tiles.
Yes.
You pull out a letter.
Yes.
Whatever letter is in your hand, you have to come up with the most offensive swear word you can. I don't think it's one for this station.
It's not a radio.
One for Rabbit Hole.
It's not radio friendly. Rabbit Hole is I'll have you know, is a highly intellectual, mentally stimulating debate show. We will not be having. It might actually work on the Rabbit Hole.
It could.
That's not a bad idea.
It would work on the Rabbit Hole.
I don't know why it's called roulette though.
Yeah. Should we swear word Scrabble?
Because you only get 6 tiles.
Right. Well. Okay. Again, Catherine, do you want to say what you said?
I don't know why it's called roulette.
Yeah.
Though.
Maybe.
Hello? Oh. Hello? He bottled it!
He's self-censored.
He bottled it!
No!
He bottled it! Because he couldn't explain it!
You haven't thought that through, had you?
Right, H-Man has tweeted, if the boys are in tomorrow night, ghost story phone him. Well, tomorrow at 10, we've got Pete Heat coming in, the magician, right? Because my boys are really into their magic now. And Pete Heat, as you know, if you've listened before, he is an amazing magician. Magic on the radio? Well, we're not streaming it on Periscope anymore. But, we can't film it because I don't want the kids in the film. So we'll have to make sure that the boffins know not to use any of the footage from tomorrow night, please. Thank you very much indeed. Unless they're out of the shot, which they won't be because they're idiots. But Pete will blow your mind, right? Pete, Google him. Honestly, he's amazing, right? So the kids are going to have their minds blown. And then I said, so I said to the boys, they've been in before, right? And I said, have you got any questions you want to ask Pete? He'll answer any question you got. So the question is, what's your favourite trick to do? Okay, fair question. And I said, now, remember when you came in last time, you asked a question to the audience. Do you want to come up with another question to ask the audience? And they might phone in. They might not phone in, but it might be fun. So my eldest said, yeah, have you ever seen a UFO? I went, okay, that's a great question. And I said to my youngest, what would you like to ask? Have you ever seen a ghost? I said, whoa, dude. Were you here for this, Sam? Oh, you weren't here. I said, right, dude, 6 and a half. Last time you came in, you asked people, have you ever seen a ghost? People started phoning up about with their ghost stories. You got more and more visibly upset by that until someone phoned in and talked about a dog that was like see-through and you misinterpreted that.
You could see the outline of the dog.
You could see the outline and you misinterpreted that to think that it had no flesh and you could see its bones and its thing. And you started crying and you had to come and sit on my lap. I said, are you sure? He said, no, I won't cry this time.
Oh, God.
So if you want to listen to a 6 and a half year old crying...
Didn't he have nightmares as well?
Oh, yeah, he still has nightmares about the dog. Still, to this day, has nightmares about the dog. His best nightmare... Right, other people's dreams are boring, but his best nightmare... And this was like 18 months, 2 years ago. Right, he's in the house in Windsor. And he woke up, right? And everybody had gone. The house was empty. But there was someone else. He could hear someone in the house. So he was, like, scared, and he's hiding, and he's trying to hide. And he goes and hides in the living room, and he kind of covers himself up. He's in the living room. And all he can hear is a voice going, there's no room. There's no room. There's no room.
Ugh!
There's no room. I'll get him to tell the nightmare. He tells it better. Freaky. So if you want to hear a kid crying on the radio tomorrow, this is the station. You won't be getting that on with Nick Abbott. 0344 499 1000. Alan, stay there. We'll come to you in a bit. This is the Late Night Alternative. Ian Lee, Catherine Boyle. Weeknights from 10 on Talk Radio.
Late Night Conversation. Wealth losing sleep over.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Danny Baker has just summed up not only Twitter, but the modern malady that is striking us all. So Michael Caine has come out and said he's pro-Brexit, right? Mm-hmm. Is that the story?
Yeah.
Right. And I've not seen any, but Danny Baker's just tweeted this. This is spot on. This is spot on. Michael Caine's opinion on Brexit is irrelevant. Calling him a twat and worse is pointless. You disagree with the old boy? Fair enough. I do too. All this going immediately nuclear on someone is a sickness. Grow up.
Spot on.
All this going immediately nuclear on someone is a sickness. Grow up. It is, isn't it? It's a virus.
Mm-hmm.
It's a virus that spreads. So I'm kind of anti-Brexit. Roger Daltrey is pro-Brexit, right? What? So I'm supposed to heckle him at this thing tonight, or am I only allowed to do it online, or can I not just sit and enjoy an hour and a half of someone who's brought me loads of pleasure, even though I disagree with him politically? It's crazy, isn't it?
It is.
All this going immediately nuclear on someone is a sickness. Danny Baker's got it absolutely spot on. And we do, it's that pile-on... 0344 499 1000, by the way. It's that pile-on mentality. It's that if you have a view that is different to mine, then you are an idiot, you're a twit, he's obviously been called the C-word, I'd imagine.
The number of people who I see specifically answering yours or being rude to you on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
And they'll say, I think you're a, you know, call you a name. Or, you know, you were SH1T on I'm a Celebrity or whatever it might be. Whenever I click on their feed, right, and have a look, it's just them shouting into the void at various people off the telly. And they've been doing it for years. And you just think, what does that give you? Does it make you feel better in that instant? Because, you know, looking at this, and I don't know you might be a really nice person away from Twitter. You look like an arse.
Someone's saying, but Danny, nothing worse than a tax-dodging 85-year-old who clearly thinks he can take it with him, preaching on a subject that's actually irrelevant to his lavish and overseas lifestyle. He won't be poor in his last days, unlike those who lose their jobs.
Okay, well...
Why send him abuse? I still don't understand why you send him abuse. Why... He's not... Why? I don't get it.
What happened to disagreeing with someone and maybe rolling your eyes a bit?
It's a funny old world, isn't it?
Why'd you have to tell them?
It's a funny old girl. 03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Let's go to Alan Caddick. Good evening, Alan.
Yep. He's asleep.
Oh, Jesus. He's been on the phone for half an hour. How can you fall asleep in that period?
He lives a very active life. Alan? Alan Caddick.
Hey, there's Dashie, right?
Yeah.
I like Dashie, I was joking. She was always very, very nice to me. Okay, well, yeah, thanks very much.
Actually, it made a lot of sense.
More sense than usual.
Yeah.
Should we phone in Canada? I don't want to do it. This isn't a prank. This isn't like, well, hey, hear me on. Are you guys high? Well, actually, I'm going to ask that. I don't want to do it as a prank call, but who can we phone in Canada? Normally, I phone like a...
We've got a caller in Canada.
Well, yeah, but I want to phone... Well, yeah, we've got Marty. Marty's welcome to call in.
You want to phone a rando?
I want to phone a rando. Normally, we phone like a restaurant or a cafe. Phone a bar. A bar might be interesting. Is it legal all over Canada if I phoned Toronto bars? There we go. Bar hop. Let's go to bar hop. Let's try bar hop. See what they say. Marty, you're welcome to call in, man, if you can find the phone. You massive pothead. 001-647. Okay, this is Bar Hop, King Street, Toronto. These phones have been a little bit. Oh, there we go. Put it there. There we go. Too high to even find the telephone, man. They don't even know what they think that ringing is in their heads.
Hello, you've reached Bar Hop at 391 King Street West. Our daily business hours are noon to 2 a.m. Unfortunately, we do not accept reservations at this location. Have a great day.
Hello, Bar Hop. My name is Ian Lee. I'm calling from Talk Radio. We're on the air at the moment. I just wanted to see, A, if you guys were high, and B, because you run a bar, whether this legalisation of cannabis thing would impact on your daily runnings, you know, because people have got other ways now to kind of get out of it a little bit. I know you're a classy joint and it's not all about getting out. Our phone number is, I don't know what the dial is, 0044 340. No, that's not right at all, is it? I'm high. 0044 344 499 1000. 0044 344 499 1000. If you want to give us a call and give your bar a plug as well, because we've got people that listen in Canada, because we're cool guys. All right, thanks, bye. They're never going to call us. Good evening, Ben.
Good evening, Ian. How are you doing, man?
None of your business.
None of my business. What do you think about the fracking?
I couldn't care less.
Well, why couldn't you care less?
Why couldn't you care less is not a valid question.
Oh, I do apologise.
That's all right. I'm highly educated.
And maybe not. It's a major issue in our community at the moment. This fracking's been passed this week, and the whole of the community isn't behind it at all. I'm sorry if I'm being boring. I just wanted an opinion.
No, it's something, honestly, I haven't given it much thought because I don't really care. What I do know is that this planet is screwed and we're all going to die in about 20 years' time. So, does it not work as a short-term solution while we invest in the infrastructure of wind farms and offshore farms and wave farms and solar
farms?
Yeah,
it does work as a short-term solution.
Then I'm behind it, then.
Lancashire.
Then I'm behind it,
well,
then.
If you don't live in Lancashire, it's short-term solution.
And this is your problem. This is your problem. You're thinking local when you need to think global.
Yeah, but I think local because I live local.
Well, I live local.
Yeah,
here's something. Here's something we've all got
not
in common.
Locally to me.
No, exactly. I wouldn't want to. You've got fracking there, but yeah, here's the thing, right? We've got to stop the world. Seriously, and I've been thinking about this a little bit. The world is screwed. What have the world people said? We've got like 22 years to do something massive. Otherwise, we're all screwed.
Yeah,
was it 22 years, something like that? And it'll be irreversible, and we're all dead. Is what they've said, right? So if fracking buys us a little bit of breathing space, it's not a long-term solution, but if it buys us a little bit of breathing space...
My problem is, that's my kids' breathing space that you're taking off them.
No, it's not. No, you're misunderstanding me. I want your kids... I've got kids as well. I want my kids to have a bit more breathing space so that we can take the pressure off of... Now, I don't know the science behind this, so I could be completely wrong, and I'm happy to say that. So we take the pressure off
fossil fuel, and what have we always been taught since you and me were at primary school?
I didn't really pay attention to fuel studies.
You say you're a hippie, man. You need to be the hippie.
Well, no, but hippies can still be into fracking.
No, they can.
Here's the thing. I think if it buys us a little bit of breathing space and takes the pressure off of the other fossil fuel resources, and then that while we're doing that, we invest heavily in wind farms and things like that, then I'm for fracking, yes.
Right, I see. It's just there isn't a lot of investment in the wind farm.
No, there isn't. That's terrible.
Renewable energy, and there seems to be a lot of investment in a money-making scheme that pulls gas out of the ground.
Well, we need to combine the both
for the surrounding areas.
I
just wanted to bring it up.
Okay. Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence it affects the water?
Have you looked at any evidence?
If you tell me to go to YouTube and find a video of someone setting fire to the water coming out of their tap,
I'm not going to do that. That at all. But there is hundreds of different chemicals that go into the water system.
There is no evidence that it actually does. That it potentially might, but there's no evidence it actually does. If it's done properly, if it's done safely.
Yeah, this is it. I just wanted someone else's opinion of it.
Okay, stop saying that because you've established that was the conversation establisher, and now we're discussing it. So now we're getting opinions, and my opinion isn't fully formed. Like I said, I've not really thought about fracking. So thank you because you're helping me to consider my opinion on fracking.
I just have major concerns about what is going into the water table. Basically.
Okay, well, what if they said to you, nothing is going into the water table? Would you be all right with it then?
I'd be all right with that, but nobody has turned around and said nothing is going into the water table.
I think the people that do the fracking have said that.
Well, the people who do the fracking will, of course, said that.
Sorry. I just thought you said that if someone had told you that nothing was going into the water table, you'd be okay with that. But now you're saying that the experts on this, the people that do this for a living, don't know what they're talking about.
The experts who work for the companies, for the fracking companies, they'll of course say that. Of course they will.
Because they will what?
They'll say there isn't anything going into the water table.
Okay.
But every other country in Europe won't let it happen.
Okay, right. I don't know what your point is.
So there surely must be a reason behind that.
Well, you don't know. I don't know. Do you know what the reason is?
Well, the reason is that it goes into the water table, and there's a lot of carcinogenic chemicals that.
Okay, if you know that,
can I interject?
Please do.
That's why I'm concerned.
I've just had a tweet from a guy who works for a water company who says, I'm not paraphrasing. This is his exact words. I work for a water company. He's talking bollocks.
Oh, all right.
Then, fair enough.
Why would the water company lie?
Why would I work for our water company? Nothing goes in the table. That's no proof whatsoever.
Well, no, but you've offered no proof as well, as you know. Hey, listen,
I haven't. I've just phoned because I'm concerned about 50% of the views I get and the other 50% of the views I get. And you can't, I can't just necessarily go with the people who say, yeah, it's going to be fine.
Well, then that's good. You found a stance. I suggest you do a bit more reading into the science of it and don't just...
I have. I just wanted to bring up the concerns, that's all.
Well, you keep saying... Here's the thing that's really winding me up. You keep saying that. We set that as an establisher for the conversation. Stop saying that because we're talking about it. We're doing what you phoned in to do. You don't need to keep signposting.
That's fantastic. We've done our job.
Job done. Job done. He's gone.
Well, that went well.
What happened there?
Uncut after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation.
The late-night alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
We can talk about fracking. It's something I know absolutely nothing about. And honestly, I don't really... It doesn't really bother me. All right, partly because it's not happening near me, as far as I know. Certainly not happening under my house. I've not really looked into the... I've not looked into the good or bad of it at all. I don't really know. But if you want to find up and educate me, 0344-499-1000.
They laid off last time, didn't they? They had a break from it.
They bottled it because of...
earthquakes.
No, because of the lead singer from The Pretenders' daughter got strapped on, didn't she? To a tree. Chrissy Hynde's daughter got strapped onto a tree. Yeah. 0344-499-1000. Hello, David.
Hi, Ian. Hi, Ben.
Hello, David, my old friend.
And there's something talking to me again.
Yes, man, finger clicking.
Sleeping.
I tell you what's a good song. Here's a good song. Oft overlooked Simon and Garfunkel classic. Hazy Shade of Winter.
Oh.
That is a great song. The Bangles did a great version of it, but the Simon and Garfunkel version, that rocks.
I'll tell you something else.
Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted you there. Actually.
That's all right, man. Have you been to Canada today?
No, but I used to live there.
Yeah, it sounds like it, buddy.
Oh, good place, good place.
Good place, man. Let's go to Canada and get stoned. I want to get stoned in Canada, man.
It's the strongest in the world, Canada.
Free the Canada. I once tried to buy, when I was filming in Canada years ago, I tried to buy some weed, back when it was illegal, I tried to buy some weed and some guy just sold me what they call in America oregano or oregano. And I knew what it was when I got it and I still tried to smoke it.
Of course,
you do. You buy bad drugs or stuff that isn't drugs. You finish it, man. The amount of sherbet dip I've shoved up my nose going, well, I paid £50 for this. I'm certainly going to get my money's worth. Anyway, David, yes, sir.
It's a strange one. When I rang in and the guy said, I'm going to put you through.
Yeah.
There's a very weird, like, almost like a demonic voice for a while. Then are you doing something for Halloween or something?
What?
When I rang up,
yeah.
He said, hi, David. I'm gonna call you back. He said, "I'm gonna call you back."
This is like
a really strange, like you know when they play things backwards.
Yeah. Although that's just Sam. Sam is practicing. Working in the radio is a part time job. He's practicing to be a voodoo technician, and so he's probably put a hex on you.
Okay.
So luckily he's not very good. So you should make it through the weekend. There we go. Was there a point to this flirtation, David? I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it a lot, man.
No, I think... the reason why I called originally was... I think it was the point about people getting aggressively doing tweets. And was it Danny Baker's statement that you liked?
Yeah.
I agree with that. That's very good. I was thinking about it. It reminded me of when I was younger, I used to go to football matches.
Okay.
And the people in the crowd would always shout, you know, abuse to the players because there were so many of them and they were behind. But now it seems like those people are everywhere.
He makes a good point, doesn't he, actually? Football's not a thing I'm massively enamoured with, but you would see people, you effing idiot!
You're
a dick! What we call armchair, they call in America, armchair quarterbacks, the people that think they can do it better, even though they've got a big beer belly and you know, take two steps and out of breath. And that, you're suggesting that culture has now spilled out and we've all been infected with that virus off the football pitch.
I think so.
In what other walk of life would you stand behind someone at work and tell them they were doing it all wrong when you've got absolutely no clue of how you do it in the first place?
Well, can I just write down a joke for you, Catherine? I'm just going to write down a joke. Joke just for Catherine, if I said on air I would lose my job.
Yes.
I'll show it to Sam. You carry on talking to David. I'm going to go and show it to Sam.
It was a good one. Let me transmit it to you, David, through the power of the mind. You ready?
Yeah.
Right, hang on. 1, 2, 3. I'm sending it now.
Sam writes it.
Oh, I know. Do you know what I mean?
That's a bit much.
Yeah.
That's a bit much.
It is.
A bit
much, isn't you it? Get it, don't
wow.
you?
Wow. I don't feel very well.
Billy, do the walk. Do the walk of life. Do the walk of death. By the way, right, I'm not allowed to... right, my friend has seen the new Queen movie, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they're not allowed to talk about it because they signed an NDA. I haven't seen the new Queen movie. I've not signed an NDA. But apparently... it's awful. I think it's going to be my new favourite biopic after Hysteria. Oh, maybe that's what we showed. Hysteria, the Def Leppard story. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God. And they're all Americans. Oh, my God. I've lost my arm in a car crash. If only there was a way I could play the drums with my feet. Next scene. Maybe we show that. Maybe we show that at the next Rabbit Hole. But so the Queen movie, it's apparently there's a scene where it's Live Aid. And Bob Geldof behind the scenes. I'm so sorry about that, by the way. I've had a burger. Bob Geldof behind the scenes is going, oh, my God, nobody's phoning in. Queen stride on stage. Bob Geldof goes, oh, my God, the phones are going crazy.
No.
Yeah, yeah. There's loads of that. There's a bit, apparently, where they go, we need a song. We need to write a song that the audience can sing. Cut to, we will rock you. Apparently it's like that all the way through.
My.
I cannot... because Sasha was supposed to be playing Freddie Mercury.
Yeah,
Sasha Baron Cohen.
So what happened?
Well, what I read was he got kicked out because he wanted to do the drugs and the sex. He wanted to do the dark side. And they're like, no, we want to do a film about how great Freddie Mercury was in Queen. So I can't wait to see it, David.
Yeah, me too. I'd quite like to see all of that. Yeah, it sounds a bit kind of clean. I'd quite like to see the whole thing.
I want to see the drugs.
No, I don't mean that. But, you know, I mean, they're quite interesting life. I've seen a few interesting documentaries, but...
Oh, yeah. They're a great band, Queen. Like they're a great band, yeah, but biopics very rarely hit the mark. Hysteria, the Def Leppard story. I've got to check that out. Man, it's incredible. It's all there because they're from Sheffield, aren't they? Mm-hmm. But it's all filmed in America. And the guy loses his arm, I think, on an accident. But anyway, there's a scene, right, where someone's driving a sports car through the desert and there's cactus. You can see cactuses, cacti everywhere. And then there's a sign that says M25, London, 20 miles. So I'll check it out. Maybe we'll show that. David, I think he just did a poo. Thanks for your call, David.
I just flooded the washing. I just opened the washing machine to check, and water's gone all over the floor.
So we'll leave you to deal with that disaster. It's John from Highbury who phones up and does with a withheld number, said rude things, and hangs up on me. How did you get my home phone number, John?
I think you wanted people to call.
Sorry, I want people to call my home phone number. That's right. I tell you who I want to call. I want the Chinese delivery. I want the Indian, and I want my friends. I don't want perverts. Shut up. I don't want perverts. I don't want idiots like you phoning up and calling me rogue. Although actually, I quite like that. But I don't want you. How dare you phone up my home phone number 3 or 4 times?
Phoned yesterday as well.
What?
I phoned yesterday as well.
Yeah, I know, mate. You phoned several times. I'm glad you're admitting it. You do it from a withheld number, like a pussy, and you phone up and you shout abuse. Well, listen, you've been reported to the police.
Now I phone. Yeah, okay.
Now,
can we buy the stuff at the Canadian embassy, or do we need to go down to Canada?
Oh, yeah, man, that'll be nice. Is there a... I'm being spontaneous. Is there a shop that's got the word Canada in the name? Because if there is, I can make a joke about could we go there and buy weed? Of course, we would not be able to because it is still illegal in this country. It's only actually within the confines of the Canadian borders that it's become legal.
We can buy it anywhere around ours, couldn't we?
Yes, we could, John. But I tell you something, I would not want to get stoned with you. It would be a bummer.
I never tried it, and I don't intend to. But I like your company.
You lied to my company?
I like your company.
Hate your company. Your company makes me nauseous. Your company makes me ashamed to be human.
No, you can't control who listens to you. You see, once
I can control. I can control. John, I can control my callers.
Yeah, but...
Let's go to Will. Come on, man.
I'm sad for John. He so wants to be your friend.
He walked right into that.
I know.
Will?
Hello.
Will, I've got to go to the news. Can you stick around for a few minutes and you'll be the first call as soon as we get back?
All right.
Is that okay? You sure? You sound a bit down.
It's fine. Cool.
Do you want to give us a little tease as to what we're going to hear after 11?
I was just going to chime in with some info on fracking, just so you can know a bit more about it.
Okay. Well, we look forward to that. Sounds like it's going to be a gas. Hey, come on, buddy. Let's hear the noise. Will's going to tell us about fracking. That should keep him listening. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call.
Or if you've ever been fracked.
Oh, Catherine, below the belt.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I don't mind other guys dancing with my girl.
Doing the falsetto there. It's kicking off on Twitter. Who cares? Twitter, you know, anyone who kicks off on Twitter is a knob. So Danny Baker's may have had a few beers tonight, often does. He's tweeted, I know many of the people using twit, prick, and worse for Roger Daughtry and Michael Caine, because they've come out and said they're pro-Brexit. are equally swift to demonise Trump for his mad rhetoric. It's the same ball of fangs, people. So I haven't replied to Danny. I just spent a lovely 90 minutes listening to Daughtry being interviewed at the Royal Festival Hall. Didn't realise I should have called him a C because we disagree politically. Instead, I gave the man a standing O. Gave him a big standing ovation. So this guy, Rob Moss, tweeted me. Now imagine your bed tonight is the pavement. Are you still clapping? I've replied, yes. I loved Tommy and the Who By Numbers. They're both great albums. Yes, because I'm not there applauding his politics. What a surprise. A 75-year-old millionaire thinks differently to me. What a surprise. What a surprise. Not applauding his politics. I wasn't there. There was one question that wasn't about the Who. It was about what he thought about modern technology. And actually, I thought he was quite prescient what he said about Twitter. But I think I'm not here to hear this. I want to hear his stories about the Who. Or growing up, you know, in war-torn London. I really enjoyed that bit. You don't hear that much.
Yeah, but now imagine that your bed tonight's the pavement. Are you still clapping?
It's got nothing to do with it.
It turns out I was overly nice to my grandparents because some of their views now, that would not go well on Twitter.
It was Tracy we met this evening. Hello, Tracy. There's a lovely picture of us and Tracy. Thank you, Tracy. I hope you were booing. I hope you were booing Roger Daltrey for his obscene right-wing views. it's ridiculous, man. You know, you want to know something? I love the Beach Boys. Mike Love is a Trump supporter. You want to know something even worse? I still listen to Gary Glitter records. You know, 0344 499 1000. No, Kleinerwasser? Nicht in Wasser. Unen Uhr. Hello, Will.
Hello.
Couldn't remember what good evening is. Guten Abend. Guten Abend, mein Herr.
Don't ask me.
Oh, I don't know.
It's all Greek to me.
Oh, there we go. And you know, in Greece, of course, when there's something they don't understand, they say it's all Chinese to me. I love that. What you got? So, Will, fracking, yes.
I wonder what the Chinese say.
They say, I was going to do a racially insensitive impression then, but I won't. They probably say, well, I understand it all, because they're excellent in languages.
Yeah.
Will, fracking, can I make it sexy? Because I don't really care, if I'm on it. It's something that I've not really bothered to think about.
You should care, Ian. It's pretty serious stuff, actually. I'd never even heard of it till 2013, because they wanted to do it around in a place called Balcombe, which is about 10 miles from my house.
Yes.
And so I kind of found out from other local people about it, and I kind of looked into it, and it's pretty bad stuff. It's basically a massive industrialization of rural communities, right. And each production site requires thousands of HGV.
So it's creating a lot of work?
No, not really.
Well, there's thousands of HGV journeys, and there's obviously a lot of people being employed.
Well, I guess there's a few truck drivers, but you know, I'm sure they get plenty of work anyway.
Well, I don't know if they do. It's a bit arrogant to look down on truck drivers like that. Anyway, go on.
Well, I mean, you've got to look at the bigger picture.
Yeah, you have, and I don't think you are. You're looking at the local, not the global.
When if you look at what has happened in other countries where they've been doing this for a few years, so that the States, Australia.
Yeah.
And what's gone wrong over there, and in fact, some places have now banned it. Even New York State has banned fracking, and that's one of the first places that they started doing it in. And it's now banned in France, Germany.
So is it? It's banned everywhere in Europe, is it?
It's banned in Scotland, Germany, Bulgaria.
Well, don't listen to them. Is it banned everywhere in Europe? Because that's what our last caller said.
Not everywhere, no.
Right, okay, now here's the thing, you see, no one knows this, and I kind of suspected, I don't know anything about it, when he said it's banned in every country in Europe, I kind of thought, well, that sounds like nonsense. So I shouldn't believe him, so why should I believe you?
Because you should always do your own research.
I'm just not that bothered by it. I'm not saying this to be contrary. Genuinely, in my life, there are more important things to worry about than fracking.
The thing is that the environment and the climate affects anything else you're interested in. You know, anything else you're into ain't going to happen if you're burnt to a crisp because of the temperature's gone up too high.
Okay, so tell me how this affects the climate.
Well, first of all, we should be leaving the fossil fuels in the ground.
Okay, tell me how this affects the climate.
Because when you burn that stuff, it's in creating greenhouse gas, CO2, and warming the planet.
I can't argue with that. That sounds like science to me.
But this is an extreme form of energy extraction.
Uh-oh.
So it's the difference between like going, excuse me, mate, lend us a fiver, and beating someone up and stealing their money. It's like really, really invasive, and they use so much high pressure fluids, chemicals.
Okay, but so what does that? So what negativity? What danger does the intensity of it create?
It's the pressures involved and stuff. I mean, they're smashing up rocks.
But what does that mean? Tell me what that mean. How that affects my life.
You'll find out.
No, I don't. I'm asking. I'm not being contrary. I genuinely want to know. How does it smashing up rocks affect my life negatively?
Because it depends if they're going to do it anywhere near you, where you live.
How does smashing up? Because I genuinely don't know. Okay, and you seem to know. So I'm asking for your knowledge, your wisdom. How does smashing up rocks negatively impact on the planet?
Because the amount of fossil fuels required to get it out, for one thing, the amount of pumping. Now, each well uses something around 5 million gallons of clean water over its lifetime.
But how does that negatively... I'm going to ask you the question again, because it's not a trick question. I don't know.
Give me a chance.
Well, no, but I've given you a few chances. How does smashing the rocks negatively impact on the environment?
Well, just think next time you get a drought or a hosepipe ban or something, that each one of these wells is actually using 5 million gallons of water.
So I won't be able to use a hosepipe.
Can't be used again.
I won't be able to use a hosepipe. That's it. I've got a water butt.
I know you're playing devil's advocate.
No, I'm not. This is the thing, Will. I swear on my life, I'm not. I'm genuinely trying to get something out of you that you're not giving to me, right? I don't care about a hosepipe ban. I've never cared about hosepipe bans. Okay, in my new house, I've got a water butt. I don't know how to use it, but I've never cared about hosepipe bans. It doesn't bother me in the slightest, right? You made a point of, and I'm not being devil's advocate, and actually I find that quite offensive, you saying that, because I'm really just trying to ask questions about something I don't care about. Your conversation is not making me care about it. I want to know something. You said that the way they extract is they invasively smash up loads of rocks, and that was bad for the environment. Tell me how that is bad for the environment.
They're trying to get gas that's stuck in a rock, minding its own business.
And how does smashing those rocks up negatively impact on the environment?
Because the whole process is just so extreme and so industrialised.
And how does it negatively impact on the environment?
Well, in several ways. I mean, first of all, you've got that water coming out of the water cycle. It'll never go back in. And what they have to do is it's so contaminated, they inject it back in the ground where they've taken the oil out, because there's nothing else they can do.
So we lose some water. Okay. Right.
So you lose some water. Then you've got the actual fugitive gas emissions from the sites, which get carried on the air and cause problems.
What problems do they cause?
Well, you not only have you got methane, which is... a problem in itself when that leaks out. But you've got radon as well, which is the second cause of lung cancer in the UK.
And how many people have died from radon poisoning associated with fracking?
Well, not many in this country.
No. How many people have died of radon poisoning associated with fracking?
Well, then, Will,
you've brought up radon, so you don't know that actually the amount of radon that escapes is dangerous or not. You don't know. So that's irrelevant.
Anyone listening, look it up. No.
You phoned in to tell me this stuff. I'm not looking it up.
I'm kind of expert. I'm just literally.
I'm sorry. I thought when you said that I should be concerned and you knew stuff about it, I thought you actually knew stuff. Instead, you're just saying more than you do. You're scaremongering. You're saying stuff about radon and stuff, and then it turns out there may be no evidence to suggest that the amount of radon that escapes is dangerous.
Okay, and the other thing is because they're drilling.
Let's just move on from the radon because you've thrown that out there and you've got nothing to back it up. Okay, so the radon is irrelevant.
Due to the depths that they're drilling and the stuff that they're bringing up, they're bringing out radioactive materials, naturally occurring radioactive materials. So that's not a good thing.
Why is that not a good thing? That's a genuine question.
Be healthy.
Well, okay. How many people have been negatively affected by it? Because I'm sure they're not just bringing it out and chucking it on a slag heap, are they? I'm sure it's coming out. I would imagine. Maybe it's not. I would imagine it's coming out in a It's either radioactivity that is so small, because there's radioactivity in everything. You get an orange, there's radioactivity in it.
You get radioactivity in granite worktops as well.
Yeah, exactly. So so no one's dying of radiation poisoning in their kitchen.
But you just asked me to list some reasons, and I'm giving you reasons.
No, you're listing the headlines. But then when I do what I'd assumed you would have done, and I'm question those headlines, turns out you've not looked behind them, and you don't have anything to back
it
up.
I've seen the documentaries and the films that are about on the net. I mean, there's a big film called Gasland that everyone should check out. Gasland
on the net.
On the net. Yeah.
Whereabouts on the net did you see this?
It's probably on Vimeo or YouTube, one of the two.
You know that I could put a video up on YouTube and make it look really, really professional, because I know people that would say that masturbation makes you live 10 years longer, and I could get all kinds of experts and I could get it and put it up there. Nothing, things on YouTube are not vetted by scientists or journalists.
Well, you'd be surprised. They are. They've got like...
No, they're not. Videos on YouTube are not vetted by scientists.
A lot of this stuff is peer-reviewed stuff, so, you know, it's pretty sound.
According to the people in the documentaries?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Your own research.
Nothing. People that are in the film.
What you think,
no, I'm not going to. It sounds boring.
I'll give you your homework.
No, I'm not. I reject it. Nothing that is put up... I'll put the point again. Nothing that is put up on YouTube is in any way checked by YouTube checks.
Well, hang on. You could say that about any mainstream media publication, whether it's a newspaper.
No, you could not. You could not.
Television news.
No, you could not. You could not. The amount of stuff that is fact checked and legal checked on BBC News is incredible.
Okay, so
you've not given me one fact. You've not given me one fact that you can back up with evidence that it's dangerous.
There's been cases in Canada...
Of radon poisoning.
Of all kinds of...
Of radioactivity poisoning.
There's been towns that have been left with no water because people can't use their water wells. I mean, not that many people in this country get their water from their own personal wells, but in other countries they do that a lot, and then people have completely lost their water supplies, and they've had to bring in fresh water in tankers and stuff.
Oh, so they got water in the end, OK. So it's an annoyance, but it's not the end of the world.
If the worst thing
you've come up with, right, and again, I don't actually believe it, but the worst thing you've come up with is a town in Canada couldn't get water from a well, so they had to have water trucked in. I mean, it's inconvenient.
If that was your place and suddenly no more water came out your tap, we've just been doing oil exploration next door to your house.
I'd feel pissed off, but I'd learn to live with it.
And a lot of these places in the UK, the stuff they're getting up is not to go into the domestic energy supply. It's to feed the feedstocks of plastic factories.
I care about plastic factories even less than I care about. You've done a good effort. My suggestion is to go and read those headlines again, and then do your own research into the stories behind those headlines. Has anybody died of radon poisoning?
Loads of people have died as a result of fracking. Loads.
Because of the radon poisoning.
Have a look at.
No. I'm asking you a question, Will. Stop. That's what I was specifically talking about. You're doing smoke and mirrors, and if the best you can do is a silly voice when you're avoiding a question, then I thought we were having a grown up conversation. I'm really sorry.
Well, you know, Ian, I just hope that you don't find out in a bad way how bad it is. I hope you've found that before.
Okay, hit me with the heavy guilt trip, man. What a way to end the phone call. I don't care about it. Honestly, I don't care. Here's your homework. Go and find out how many... One simple thing out of all the bullshit you gave me, here's one simple thing you can go and investigate. How many people have died as a direct result of radon poisoning that can directly be attributed to fracking? Go and do that, Will, and then we'll have a chat.
Right. And then you watch Voices from the Gas Field.
No, because I don't care. You're the one that cares about it so much. You're the one that's phoning up radio shows, and yet you have nothing to offer apart from empty wind. That's it.
I'm just trying to give you something to counteract the spiel that the industry give out on.
Well, first of all, we've not had anyone on from the industry here, so there's no need to counteract it here. And I appreciate your call. I really, really do. But you've not said anything. You've not given me any facts. You've given me stories that you then couldn't back up. And that's a shame, because I thought we were going to get facts from you.
I'm just trying to make people aware and to put me into it themselves.
No, I get it. I just need to make you aware you're doing it very badly.
All right, cheers, Ian.
All right, well, thanks, man. Speak again. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. 0344 499 1000. Give me facts. Give me facts. People, town in Canada. What was the town? Radon comes out. Okay, how much is coming out? Because if it's like 1 milligram of radon, is that deadly? I don't know. Everything's radioactive. Everything is radioactive. How much is it? Is it like 100 times more radio? Has anyone died from it? Has anyone got cancer from it? I genuinely don't know if fracking is good or bad. I don't know. And if we had, and I'll just say this, because I do appreciate the call, Will. If we'd have had somebody on from the fracking industry, and they were telling me stuff, I would have challenged them. I honestly don't care about it either way. And I always hate when people say, you really should care about this. You really should care about this.
And then they can't tell you why.
No, you really should care about this. And I just hope you don't find out about it in a bad way. Oh, you mean when my kids die? Thanks, man. Thanks for putting that in my head.
But also, when they say things like, I just hope you don't find out about it like that, is they're hoping you do find out about it in a bad way. So then they can be right.
He gets cancer because of the radon, and he shouldn't have laughed about it on his show. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
The Wild Man of Late Night Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Thank you, Will. Genuinely, I wasn't playing devil's advocate there. It annoys me. Sometimes I do it. Of course I do. Sometimes I'll do it for the theatre. But I genuinely wasn't there. I don't know anything about fracking. And very little. And I'm not interested. I'm really not interested. But if someone comes on and is really anti it or is really pro it, then I kind of think, OK, well, what's the con here? What's the con? And quite often they haven't got the facts to back up. If he said, well, 50 people have died as a direct result of radon that can be linked to fracking. That's a serious thing. That's an issue. OK, fine. Hang on, but we don't know if anyone's died. I don't know. Anyway, it's boring. It really is boring. Hello, David.
How are we doing, mate? You okay?
I'm okay, thank you, David. What can I do for you this evening?
I had a weird experience a few months ago in London. Went down with the family, and we went to a restaurant, TripAdvisor. It's apparently meant to be the best kebabs in London.
Yeah.
So we decided to try it out, give it a go, and on the menu, well, the price was just outrageous for a kebab.
Go on.
Looking at well over 100 quid just for a kebab. Yeah, I done a kebab.
Wow, that sounds what made it £100? Factor? Was it the lying factor? A kebab for over £100? Are you nuts, David? What a load of old nonsense! Why are you phoning me up with this rubbish? You absolute buffoon! You liar! A kebab for £100, even at London prices? You are a liar, David! Liar! Liar!
I swear on me child's life, mate, it was that.
You haven't got children! You're a virgin!
Oh, mate, that's a bit far-fetched.
Fair play, that's a good comeback.
Says the man with a £100 kebab. Okay.
No, have a look online. Google it yourself if you don't believe me.
All right, what am I Googling? Go on.
Google lamb kebab.
Lamb kebab?
Lamb kebab, yeah.
Just the words lamb kebab.
And £100 will pop up.
Not lamb, L-U-N, lamb kebab.
Mate, don't even try it with me, buddy. Try it with me. Because listen, I've been playing the banjo for a long, long time. I've been playing the banjo.
The banjo?
Yeah, the 5-string instrument. I've been playing that for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So don't come around here talking about lungs on a show thinking the old white guy isn't going to know what a lung is. The white guy knows what a lung is. The white guy knows all about it.
Ian, you're a legend, mate.
I'm an absolute legend, and I want to say, what can I say that's not rude? Muchi ungli.
The what?
Muchi ungli.
What's that mean?
It means fish fingers.
Muchi ungli.
Yeah.
Ian, you're a G, mate.
David, come closer. David, can I sing to you, David?
Yeah, go on.
Come closer, I want to sing to you. Can your friends hear me?
Yeah.
All right, this is for you and your friends. Okay, here we go.
Go on then. Give us a kiss, mate.
Perdesi, perdesi, janana hey, mujhe chode ke, mujhe chode ke. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much indeed. Don't try and sneak the word lum past me. You know who he's dealing with.
Filthy animal.
Lum means a winkle. Lung kebab. Come on, David!
I still wouldn't pay £100 for it.
I enjoyed that. Thank you, fellas. At last, a high-quality prank call. If you'd have gone in at 40 quid, I'd have been in there. You'd have had me. 100 quid, you weren't in too much. But well done. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that a lot.
I think they enjoyed it too.
Yeah, good. Good. You guys can call any time you want. Watch the language. But muchungli means fish fingers. I say it slightly wrong. That's why some people I can't quite remember how you're supposed to pronounce it. Hey, Marty, put down the reefer in Canada and speak to us if you can.
I'm struggling, dude. Especially after that. They had me going, man. I was actually Googling that as he was saying.
That was fun. I enjoyed those guys.
Lund.
You are in...
What language was that?
It's Hindi and Urdu. I think they're different languages, but they got a lot of the same words, so it worked in either. So if you're in India or Pakistan, yeah, you can either get a laugh or a good kicking by saying that. It depends. Now, you are in Vancouver, Canada. Canada is now... The weed's been legalised for what, 24 hours, 48 hours?
Yes, sir, 24 and a half. Well, I guess 36 hours. But, yes, I mean, Ian, it's basically been legal, dude, for as long... I mean, I've lived
he
here...
He wasn't calling me dude six months ago.
You can do it openly now.
He wasn't calling me dude.
I've lived here 9 years. It's basically been legal here for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, there's dispensaries and stores that you can just walk into and you just buy it. And they've been open for the last 4 or 5 years. So what happened yesterday doesn't make much of a change other than it's just completely legalized it. So now we can actually walk around down the street smoking it. But we could do that before. We could buy it before. So not much has changed, man.
So you were there 2 days ago, 3 days ago, last week. Were there stores you could go in and buy weed?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Stores?
And many of them, dude. Look, they have... Okay, and it's really strange because obviously they're completely illegal. Last week, they were completely illegal.
Right.
And several of them are medicinal, yeah, and were licensed.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. And those ones, you actually needed to have a medicinal marijuana card to go into the store and buy.
Yes, man. However, I bet you could print them up online. And, you could make a print out for you, man.
Well, they have doctors on site.
Yes,
right?
Man. They do it for you, pay for it, man. They do a doctor to you, one man. I wish I still smoked weed.
Man.
Huh?
Oh, dude, you should. Why did you stop?
Because I can't stop. So I had to stop. Because here's the thing, man. When you're getting through £300 worth of skunk a week and you are waking up, you go to bed and you wake up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and you reach over and there's a half-finished joint and you light that and then you go back to sleep. Then you wake up and before you get out of bed, you have three joints. That's kind of a sign that maybe, just maybe, you should perhaps consider not doing it.
Yeah, maybe, dude. I mean, that does sound like an awful lot.
That was a lot, man. And here's the thing. I was buying so much weed, right, that I didn't want to know the weight of what I was buying. I didn't want to know the weight. So I would go to the dealer and I would say, can I get £300 worth, please?
Whoa.
I didn't want to, I don't know, I don't, you know, because you only get it in eighths or teenths, well, not teenths, geez, or ounces. Yeah. I don't know. I want to get 300, you know, and it was, because this was when I was on telly money. This was every week, man. This was every week. Terrible. I mean, terrible. Wowzers. I used to get terrible migraines and I was very pale and I would just sit there watching daytime TV, man. And it was... I couldn't do the thing that where you have you know, it's like 9 o'clock at night, you're going, well, what? Let's put on Revolver. Let's put on Rubber Soul followed by Revolver. And let's roll a fat one. I couldn't do that. That would then be the rest of my life would be rolling a fat one. So that's why.
I mean, Ian, if you smoked that much, I mean, surely it wasn't even affecting you. Surely it would almost become...
It wasn't.
I mean, because so what's the point in smoking it that much then? Because what are you getting from it?
Well, nothing. I couldn't... I was addicted to it.
Just the addiction, yeah?
Yeah, man, yeah.
But did you roll tobacco in?
Of course we did. We're British.
Well?
We're British and we're hardcore. We smoke it with tobacco.
Yeah, I think that's half the problem.
No.
Because half the addiction is coming from the nicotine.
No,
well.
No. Here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? That my first NA meeting I went to, because I had a problem with cocaine, right? So the first meeting I went to, I spoke to someone on the helpline. And they said, hey, there's a meeting near us tonight at 8 o'clock. If you meet us at this train station, me and a friend, we'll meet you there. We'll go in with the first meeting, which is what they often do. I was like, yeah, cool. So I met this guy, and in the car was this other guy. No names, no pack drill. And so you're chatting, and they're asking me, so what is your problem? I said, oh, it's coke. I can't stop taking coke. And I went, okay. And I said to the second guy, I said, so what's your problem? And he said, I'm addicted to weed. And I'm sniggering, thinking, but you can't be addicted to weed, man. What are you talking about? But yeah, you can. You can. You can be addicted to anything that changes the way you feel. And that can be shopping, and that can be sex, and that can be sugar, and that can be biscuits. And yes, heroin and crack and crystal are, I don't quite know the right phraseology, in inverted commas, more addictive. But if you are an addict, you can be addicted to weed. And all this, you can't get addicted to weed. That was one of the first things I had to realise, that was nonsense. Yes, you can, man.
Yeah.
But that's a minority of people. A lot of people can do it successfully, and I wish them the best of luck.
I mean, the government have been very, you know, since the last few months here, they've been, you know, dropping leaflets to everybody's home. There's been a lot of adverts on TV.
You know people just ripping those leaflets up and either using them for roaches or using them to skin up.
Using them for roaches. That's what I'm doing anyway.
Good lad. Here we go.
Here's the thing, dude.
Yeah.
Dude. I don't know how they're going to police driving.
Sorry,
right?
Police driving?
Because, okay, yeah, but how are they going to police, like, drive people who are driving and high? Because if you take someone like you and how much you were smoking,
yes,
and
man.
I smoke a fair bit too. So it doesn't affect me, right? I've already had a few today. I could get in a car and drive anywhere if I want, if I had
yes,
a car.
Man.
But I could easily drive, no problem. But they're proposing like a saliva test. But the weed stays in your system for, you know, months and months. So the saliva test is going to come back with having you as high when you might actually not be. But then you'd have people in my situation who would be, you know, high who could drive. I love this background music.
Yes, man! Have yes, it!
Man. Yes, man. Turn it up louder, man.
Yeah!
So when you bring in the show to Vancouver, man.
Bass, man. The bass is going right through me, man. Bass is making me want to shit my pants. Flashbacks. Good evening, Dion.
Hello.
Hello, Dion.
Yeah, I actually, I phoned off my mobile when I phoned Kathy, and I had a bit of it recorded and that.
Oh, yeah.
I know it was a mistake. I said I ain't been to my local pub for nearly 13 years.
Yeah.
Because the agoraphobia, I don't like too many people near me. And that's what I said. Yeah, I just sort of want to do public transport. And
ah, okay. So we got
really,
it wrong.
No, that's
wrong.
All it was.
Sorry, just to clarify, and I'm sorry if that's the case, man.
We got it wrong when we said what we said.
Me and Kath got it wrong.
Well, no, I mean, the way it come out is if I hadn't been out for 13 years. I hadn't been fishing by the canal or gone to my local pub for that long.
Because I know that Kath listened to it.
Yeah.
Cash?
Well, no, you said you were diagnosed in
2003.
Yeah, so that would be 15 years ago you were diagnosed.
Yeah.
And then you said you hadn't been to the local pub You haven't even been to a local pub in a year or something, you said to me?
I said I think it was about 10 years at least.
Oh, really? Because I've got it here. Should we have a listen?
No, I don't want to. There's no need.
All right, OK. And then you said...
No, really.
And then you said you'd been...
No, I mean, there's no problem.
Hang on. And then you said you'd been... It got really bad about 5 months ago and you stay in, is what I...
Yeah, the only place I go now is the corner shop next door. No, it's been... just going to the corner shop's been the last few years. I've tried to go fishing, and I really tried to go out fishing. Here's the thing.
And I'm feeling loose. I don't believe anything you say. I like you as a human being, right? I like you a lot. Cause you've been phoning me for years. I like you a lot. I think I love you, man. I think you're a nice guy, and I worry about you because I don't believe anything that you say. I don't believe anything.
You don't have to.
No, I know I don't have to, but I want you to know that I don't believe you.
That's okay.
And
I could always ask, sorry,
I'm bogarting that pen. So
I'd like to know what you've done with your $12 million.
Sorry?
What did you do with your $12 million? The pictures of your bed set.
It went up in smoke, buddy. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying, yeah?
Well, your ex-wife took it.
She could have got her hands on it. She'd have loved it. Didn't know where I was hiding it.
All right, then.
It was with a spare tire in the boot of the car. The snot came out my nose. I'm all right. Thank you, Sam. Here's the thing, right? Leon Dion, I like you, man. I like you a lot.
Yeah.
I want to tell her that I love her a lot, but I got to get a belly full of wine. I hate the word belly.
Oh, I haven't had any wine.
Okay, but I don't believe you. I don't believe you're a spy. I don't believe you're agoraphobic. I
never ever said I was a spy.
Yeah, you did. You did.
I'll tell you what, I'll take a picture of the medical report and email it to you.
I don't care about it. Here's the thing. You used to tell me you were a spy working for the military and you killed people.
No, I said I worked for intelligence. It doesn't mean you're a spy.
Okay, right. Okay.
You just surmised that.
Okay, all right. It's all on me. All right, Dion. All right, it's all on me.
All right. No, it's not on you. You just...
I don't believe you've done missions abroad.
I only went to one place, and that was the Balkans.
Okay. Well, then okay. Well, then, Dion, you've lied to me then, because you told me you went to China, and you're going to say you didn't.
No, I didn't.
You did, mate. I know you did. I know you did. Okay.
I'm not that bothered if you believe me or not. Anyway.
Okay, but I need to say that you're now completely contradicting something you said to me years ago, and that means that you are either a liar or a fantasist.
Neither.
Well, okay. That's okay. One door will lead to heaven. One door will lead to you being mauled to death by lions, and. Only one door will tell the truth. Which one are you going to walk through? That's what you've kind of presented me with there.
Well, I'm not religious. I don't want to go to heaven. But if I did go to heaven, I wouldn't know anyone.
Okay. All right, then. Okay.
So I'd rather go downstairs.
Okay.
All right, then.
All right, then.
And I'm going to try and find out what you've done with your $12 million, all right?
Okay, please do. Thank you very much indeed. Me neither. 03444991000. See, now we've been smoking weed for the last 10 minutes. Everything's taken a downer. Drugs is bad for you. So, no more drugs.
Oh.
Can you give me a blowback?
What?
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Things I don't really care about. Brexit and fracking. I will talk about them for cash. If any, I'll talk about them for money. If people want to pay me, of course I will. I'll talk about anything for money. It's easy. But do I care about them? Not really. I'd rather we weren't leaving Europe. I'd rather... Don't care. Fracking, I'd probably rather it didn't, I guess, ever slightly, but I don't really care. Rather we had more wind farms. Oh, you wouldn't like one near you. I would, actually. I think they're beautiful. I don't get they're ugly. I think they're majestic things. I don't know how efficient they are. I don't know if the amount of energy it takes to create one, how many years it takes of that big wheel keep on turning to recoup the energy before it starts going into positive energy. But I love them. They're just like old-fashioned windmills. And old-fashioned windmills, everyone loves an old-fashioned windmill. Oh, you wouldn't like it if it was a field of them next to you. Actually, I would. I think they're stunning. You wouldn't like the sonic hum. I'd find it quite relaxing. About the birds that die. I don't care. I don't really care about... Here's the thing. What do I care about? Care about my kids? Oh, well, you've got to care about the environment then. Because I don't care. I don't really care about anything. Do you care about anything? I mean, really care? To the point where you'd go on a march?
Well, I haven't been on a march. That says it all.
Yeah, I haven't been on a march. I don't really care. I don't feel strong. I feel indifferent about most things. And like 3% pro some things and maybe 4% anti some things. But that's it. There's nothing like, oh, they're talking about this on the news tonight. I've got to watch and then I'm going to text in my opinions.
No, I'm not that. There are plenty of things that get my gander up.
I don't care about Trump.
But nothing that would make me, you know, put the Sky Plus box on. And
here's the thing. If I cared, right, so if I care about fracking, right, I care about fracking. So now I care about fracking. What does that achieve? All it achieves is now I'm having sleepless nights about the impact of fracking in Lancashire and checking my local council website every week to see if they're going to be introducing fracking near me. So now I've got something else to worry about that I'm completely powerless. We could go and do a protest. Right. Okay. So I care about fracking. So what? What does that achieve? Just me. Hello, come
stomach.
In. That was me.
That was me.
No, that was me.
It's totally
felt
me.
It.
I felt it.
Do you get that, guys, when sometimes there's two of you and the stomach goes and neither of you think it's you, or sometimes both of you think it's you? 0344 499 1000. That's more of our usual topic. Anything you were going to say, or should I speak to Keith?
I was going to say about protests. You know, I think it's brilliant. The women in Ireland protesting, you know, for...
They were so fit, those women.
No.
Some of them were absolutely
that's
beautiful.
That's not what it's about. The women in Ireland protesting for, you know, pro-choice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought that they were, I think they're formidable and I think they're great, they're inspirational.
Or as the Irish say, formidable.
Do they?
Apparently so, yeah.
But I've got to say, there's nothing that's made me, like, put a bobble hat on and get a placard.
I'd like a reason to punch a copper.
No.
Yeah, yeah,
not
yeah.
Punch a copper.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I would like that.
They'll punch you back, they've got a big stick.
I want to get beaten by a lot of police women. 034. It's getting a bit silly now. Let's go
it
to.
Is.
It's getting silly. Good evening, Keith.
Hi, how are you two?
Horny.
Yeah, it's just.
Yeah.
It's funny you're talking about protests the sort of how ambivalent you are about it. I've been rung in to give a shout about the new Ian Lee film, Peterloo. And
no, hang on, the new Who film?
Mike Lee.
You said Ian Lee.
Ian Lee film.
You said Ian Lee.
Did I? Oh, well.
Yeah, I was thinking,
well...
Yeah,
well, you might be a cousin of third degree.
Go on, because I've been invited to a screening of this.
Yeah, oh, I want to see that. Yeah.
You'll know about this, Catherine, because it's your our territory up here.
Hang on, mate. I know about it as well, because I did it in history.
Yeah, I did. I got a B in GCSE.
Good for you, man. Well done. That's
social
brilliant.
History, in it, but I didn't fully understand it then. If you, but it basically, it was the right. Premiere last night on the home cinema, which used to be the corner house.
Oh yeah.
The Peterloo Massacre. Are you aware of it, Catherine?
Yes.
Yeah. So, do you know about it, Ian?
Yes, I know a little bit. I don't really remember it. I remember it. Yeah, it was a massacre. It was.
Go on. What do you know about it?
Well, okay, let me try and remember. It wasn't the place. Wasn't called Peter. Was it Peterborough? Anyway, it was.
Yeah, that's the Greater Merseyside. Like
shut your face! Shut your face! I'm going to punch you. Come and punch you. But it's not in a place called
Peterborough.
It's not.
Oh my God!
You are an absolute shit. But it's not in a place called Peterloo. Is what I'm trying to say.
You're right.
The Peterloo Massacre. It was.
Yeah, it wasn't in Peterloo.
St. Peter's Fields.
Thank you very much indeed. That's the point I was trying to make.
It's all right, I'm
it was the loo was because it was so bloody. It was. I'll tease you in a minute by hanging you from your penis out of an eighth floor window.
That's
the loo is it was so bloody. It was compared to Waterloo.
That's true.
Thank you, Keith.
Yeah. So basically, it was. Predated the Chartist movement and the socialist movement for sort of
working, ordinary working people to get the vote. It was in Spinningfields, which I think, Catherine, you know where Castlefields is in the centre of Manchester?
Yeah.
I think a couple of thousand people, it was a peaceful protest, and they sent the cavalry in.
How many do you reckon were in that crowd, though?
I'm not quite sure. I think 1,500 to 2,000.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Oh, well, tell you what. You were even wronger than I was, but I'm not going to laugh at you because I want you to learn more. And I worry if I laugh at you, you might stop learning. It was 60,000, but carry on, mate.
Excellent. Now in the centre of Manchester, yeah. And it was really fundamental.
He's saying it as though it's something to be proud about.
Well, I am, yeah. It's sort of in the DNA of us over here.
What, being a bore? Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Hey. Oh, hey!
You're so parochial, you don't even know what Greater Merseyside is. You're calling Greater Merseyside. I had to chuckle at that
one. Who's, I've never even said the phrase Greater.
You did.
When?
Honestly, I laughed my socks off at that one.
When did I say Greater Merseyside?
The other week.
Give me context.
Greater Manchester, you know, like Liverpool, and you said Greater Merseyside.
What? Who is this guy? Is this like your ex-husband or your dad or something?
No, my dad's posher than this.
I tell you what, you're good at dishing it out, but you can't take it.
You won't be good at taking it when I come and karate chop you to the windpipe.
Let's be grown-ups about it.
Exactly. But... I'm going to kill you.
Oh, you're not.
I'm going to kill you.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Oh, yes.
I'm ambivalent.
I'm going to kill you. Now I've got something I feel passionate about. It's about killing Keith.
I don't think so.
I think so.
You see, you're there again, aren't you?
Huh?
There again with you taking the mick out of the Northerners and you're not looped past Watford.
Excuse me.
Hang on a minute.
You don't know the difference between Peterborough and Peterlee.
Keith, shut up. Kath, do you want to step in and defend me on this one?
I think you've been a bit touchy there. He wasn't doing that at all. You did say it a bit of a patronising tone. That's what he was going for. Nothing to do with being Northern. You know that he's my best mate and I'm Mancunian.
Are you? You should have told me that first time we met.
Yeah. So how can he have a problem with Northerners?
Well, hang on a minute. Stay at this, Keith.
He's got a problem with me now.
I didn't know
who's Mancunian, Ian?
I didn't know
me.
Right. Oh, yeah, I know you are.
Shut up, Keith.
You know about Little Holton.
Shut up.
And Swinton.
Will you shut up, man? You didn't tell me you were from Manchester.
Yeah.
This changes everything.
From Manchester.
Shut up! This changes everything.
Okay.
This friendship is toxic.
Oh, don't be silly. She knows about Little Holton, don't you? Little Holton and Swinton.
Do you know what? I don't want to be on this show while there are two northern people. Catherine, you enjoy talking to your boyfriend.
Yeah.
His name's Keith.
I've gone, Keith. No, hang on. One more thing.
Stick it up, your little Holton.
You've upset him now. You know why?
Idiot.
He doesn't like.
Big southern softy.
Yeah. Can I just share this last thing?
Yeah, but you know. Yeah. It's just me.
I rang in a few weeks ago about what was it called on Sunday night?
End of a sentence?
No, the drama with the when he was...
Oh, God, this is like a conversation with my mum. What's that programme where her husband's buggered off? That's what she says. What?
The terrorist drama Sunday night.
Right, I'm going to need more clues because I haven't watched it.
No, I can't remember.
Is it the shooting man?
Yeah, the doodah.
The doodah. No, I didn't see it.
And he said it was...
The what's it?
No, bodyguard.
Boom. I love that. Kevin Costner, Whitney Houston.
No, it's
poor
a bodyguard.
Whitney, I still miss her.
It was called Bodyguard, wasn't it? Or there was something
if
like that.
If I...
He's gone now, isn't he?
Should stay.
Mm? Whatever. So there you go.
What happened?
Well, it was... It was a sister,
wasn't it?
It was what?
It was a sister. It was trying to kill her.
No, that's Eve, I think.
In The Bodyguard.
Oh, that no! I'm talking about the recent drama on the Sunday night, the one where he was the
what's it?
Where he was the sort of like trying to cut out the terrorist situation. Anyway, I can't remember.
What were you going to say about it? A show I haven't seen.
Well.
Was it good?
Just about the viewing figures. I think it was about 10.9 million or something like that.
Oh.
Anyway, I'm going now. But anyway, there you go. Peter Lee and Peter Lou. So, anyway, Catherine, good to speak to you.
You too.
You know about Little Holton.
course I do. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Not good, wasn't it? I didn't watch that programme. I've just had a conversation with someone, a very vague conversation with someone for about, felt like 10 minutes. I think it's probably four.
Is it safe to come back in?
Oh, God.
Right. First of all, that guy's a bell cheese.
Second of all... I thought you seemed very pleasant.
I know it wasn't Peterborough, but I knew it was Peter something, St. Peter's Square. But first of all, did we laugh and mock him when he said he wanted to talk about the new Ian Lee film?
A bit.
Yeah, but not massively. Not as much as he deserved, because I'm a nice guy. That guy's an idiot. That guy has got a chip on the shoulder that's bigger than his head. What song's that? Dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun. This feels a lot like the conversation just had about the bodyguard. And not the good one.
Don't want to cry when there's people there. I get shy when they stop and stare. I'm going to lock myself away, yeah. I'll come back again someday. And when I do, you better hide all the girls.
Oh.
I'm going to break their hearts all around the world. If I don't get my way, I'm coming back again someday, but I can't. So I'll cry instead. Boom, 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 brum, bring.
Don't know it.
It's the Beatles.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't want to cry when there's people there.
All right, don't sing it again.
God, no! Keith, nice anyway, to have you on board, Keith. Yeah. Great call.
Appreciate
it. Chip on his shoulder there. Big chip on his shoulder. I've got a problem with... What stupid thing to say I've got a problem with northern people? I think my problem is with idiots. North, south, east, west, black, white, gay, straight, trans. My problem is with trans. No, not with trans. My problem is with idiots of any denomination, right? And Keith falls under the I category, the idiot category. So I've got a problem with him. But northern people, I don't have a problem
with. He's come on before and suggested you were taking the mickey out of his accent, but it's not that. It's just sometimes...
Take the mickey out of everyone's accent.
His tone was... His tone arsy. Was funny. Anyway.
His tone was arsey.
It don't matter, does it?
You know, greater Liverpool, greater Merseyside. What? I don't know what you're talking about.
I think
about.
If you ever said that, it would have been a joke.
Yeah. Anyway, a week Monday... We can go and see Peter Lou if you want.
Yeah, go on then.
I don't know if I fancy it now after talking to that Muppet.
Actually, I don't think he's in it.
Is Mike Lee? So is it funny?
Or is it? No, it won't be funny.
Is it Abigail's Party Mike Lee or is it Naked Mike Lee? Is it Vera the Vera Lynn film Mike Lee? Is it Nuts in May Mike Lee?
No.
Or is it... that boring one about the old play people in the 1900, Mike Lee.
I'm guessing more that, yeah.
Okay, well, I don't really want to go and see it then. We've got another
hour. That's because you don't like Northern, isn't it?
That's true, correct, yes. We've got another hour of this rubbish, dear listener. 03-44-449-1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, you'd be very welcome. It's been quite a good old show. People say we lost it. 2 days ago, we had lost it. 2 days ago, it was boring. Now we're back better. This is the thing you got. It was this show and last night's show was like makeup sex after an argument, right? You got to have the argument. I'm not saying that's what we did after our argument. You have the argument, and then you want it, and it's like the best you've ever had. By the way, as we walked into the Royal Festival Hall today, first we met that lovely couple, and then as we're walking in, the guy on the door went, "Have you two made up yet?"
Yeah,
he was a listener and we didn't get his name. I'm really sorry, my friend. I didn't ask you your name because I was so thrown that someone recognised me not because I'd stolen strawberries but because we do this.
Because we'd had a row.
You two made up, yeah. And I was a bit embarrassed. But it was nice to talk to you, man. Thank you. Thank you for saying hello. It made our night. It really did. 0344 499 1000. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I got a chip on my shoulder that's bigger than my feet. I can't talk to people that I meet. If I could see it now, a loving man can do. Until then, I'll cry instead. Don't wanna
cry when there's people there. I get shy when the stop is there. I'm gonna love myself away, yeah. And I'll come back again some woo.
For that.
It was sounding a bit distorted, so I thought I'd go in with the old McCartneys. You look like McCartney and you look like Bruce Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, sometimes when Kath has a strong side parting and her big silly sunglasses on, Bruce, I've sent you pictures of Bruce, yes, Lee, and you've been confused going, when did you take this picture of me?
Sadly, I sing like Bruce Lee and fight like McCartney.
Oh, I see what you did to the sentence. I said you turned it on its head. 03444991000. Lots of phone calls tonight. Too many, I'd say.
Let's get rid of some.
Let's get rid of... let's keep Katie, because I like Katie. Good evening, Katie.
Hello. Thank you for liking me. That's very nice.
Well, we've not had too many phone calls. We've had just enough. We could do with a few more to get us through till 1 o'clock when Paul Ross comes in.
I'm really sorry that I can't. I've just recently tuned in, so I can't refer to any calls that you've had.
Okay, probably just as well.
We're talking about fracking, and I'm being told I hate the North.
Oh, but you don't, do you? Obviously.
Well, no, of course I don't. I love everywhere in this. I love everywhere around the world. Everywhere.
Yeah.
Places, people, food, smells, boobs and bums and willies, hair and buildings and grass, everything.
Marvellous, marvellous.
Yep.
I've got a question, right?
Okay, we've got the answer. Welcome.
Oh, right. Has anybody... I haven't been sleeping.
I have.
Good.
What's the question? Sorry.
I have
slept.
I'm very jealous, okay? I haven't slept for like 3 days last week.
Oh, man.
And since, I don't know, it's been quite it's probably since Tuesday.
I would suggest you put it away for a bit and tell your partner to sleep in another room and just sleep, man. You've got to sleep. Then I can't,
that's the thing. So I went to the doctor's this morning, and when you have lack of sleep, it just drives you slightly insane.
Yeah.
You can't think properly, yeah, and it's all very scary. You feel like you're in a dream world.
Yeah.
And I went to the doctor, and he said I had something called sleep paralysis. So basically what happens is when I dream, for example, last night, I know it's really boring listening to other people's dream stories, I won't go on about it too long, but basically in my dream, a friend of mine found a mountaineer.
A mountaineer, you say?
Yeah, who is dead and covered in ice, okay? Oh. But the next thing I know, I can feel somebody on my bed, and he breathed in my ear, and I could feel his head on my shoulder and said, it's okay, I'm not dead, I'm right beside you. And it's terrifying. I'm not on any drugs at all. It sounds like, yeah. And I was very hesitant telling the doctor that today, and it's called sleep paralysis.
I've had that a couple of times.
Have you?
Not with a mountaineer, but with someone standing over me, and then I remember one occasion, he sort of grabbed me.
And did you actually see something?
Yes, and I thought I was awake.
Oh, it's terrifying, man.
What we need, and this does sound horrific, okay?
Go on.
What we need is David Babcock to call in, because this to me sounds like supernatural phenomenon.
Well, there is...
No, I don't think it is.
No, it sounds like it, but there are folk tales about it, that there's an old hag that sits on your chest, isn't that one?
Yeah. About that. No, wait, but I mean, the doctor, and I was really nervous to speak to the doctor about it, because I thought he's just going to cart me off any second. But he was really sweet, and he said, look, you know, I totally appreciate it. And I was in tears, and I said, look, I sound absolutely crazy. He said, look, I had it a few years ago, and it's very difficult to explain it to people who haven't been through it before. And I think it's just due to stress, and I'm on antidepressants, and it could be that as well.
Do you meditate?
No, I should.
I meditated I didn't get much sleep last night, a bit more than I thought, because I was staying in Windsor, and so I had the kids wake me up.
Uh-huh.
And I had a really nice day with my youngest. We went geocaching, and we found loads.
Oh, great.
We found loads. And there was one in the middle of the woods, and we'd go through brambles and stuff, and we couldn't find it. I went, do you know what, son, I don't think, let's go on to the next one. He went, no, let me look a bit longer. He found it. He was thrilled. But I came into work a bit early, because me and Kath were going to go off and see this Roger Daltrey thing. I didn't realise he was a fascist, right-wing scumbag. And then I sat in the car, and I couldn't quite, it didn't really have long enough. Kath was going to be about 40 minutes. I haven't really got long enough to have a little doze. So I had a little meditate for the first time in ages, and then that sent me off into a nice little doze. But it was lovely. I've not meditated for ages.
Can I ask you,
yeah,
sorry to interrupt, how you do that? Is it just getting yourself into a zone?
Well,
I do transcendental meditation, which is actually, I learnt it when I was 17, and it's quite expensive, I think.
Okay.
It cost me, when I was 17, it was 75 quid, which is a lot of money then. It's more than. So I've got a mantra, and I do it for like 20 minutes, and I just go into my head, and I just repeat my mantra, and then I find my mind drifting, and then when I notice my mind is drifting, I bring it back to the mantra, and
it works, obviously.
Oh, mate, it's great. And then for like, I've had it a few times, literally maybe a dozen times in the last 30 years, where you hit the sweet spot, where you're zen, where you are at one with the universe, right? And everything is circular and is calm. And then your brain goes, oh, my God, I did it! And then you come out of it. Literally, for like a second, every atom will be connected with the universe. And
you've got to have an incredible kind of sense of willpower to be able to do that.
No. It's nothing to do with willpower. You let go of the willpower. You let go. The thing is, you're letting go of everything.
Let go, yeah.
But then, but for those who don't do TM, there are guided meditations. Like the Headspace app is always a good one. I used to use that. The Headspace app, it's free. And it'll do you little guided meditations. And I think it starts off at like 3 minutes. And then they build up to 20 minutes when you get, you know, a bit more experience with it. And they're brilliant, man.
Oh, really? Okay.
Headspace. They're great.
It's a free trial, and then you can pay to get the whole thing. But I just stayed on the free trial.
Yeah, you don't need to pay for the stuff. You can just... The free trial goes on for ages.
Well, that sounds good.
And then when you've finished it, you can pay if you want, or you just go back and do the free trial again. It's great, man.
I had an app recently that records your... Apparently, I sleep talk, which I never believed I did. I recorded my sleep pattern. Honestly, Ian, it was terrifying. The next day I listened to it, and there was about 425 recordings of me sleeping.
Have you talking in your sleep?
I was very, very sweary, and I eventually, my boyfriend said, when I stay with him, he says, "Katie, you've obviously been up in the middle of the night." He said, "There's Marmite everywhere." I said, "What do you mean?"
I hope it's Marmite.
"There's Marmite." This mum in the bathroom, so I do sleep eat. But when I recorded myself, I was talking, I was swearing a lot. Apparently, and I came downstairs, the sound of me bashing the pans, and that's scary.
It's kind of scary. I haven't slept walk for years. I used to do it a lot when I was younger. But have you been to see a counsellor? Maybe there's some. I'm not saying like you were abused as a kid or something, but maybe there's some underlying issue that you need to resolve. That maybe going to a therapist or a counsellor or something and doing a little bit of digging around might be able to find.
You know what? You've hit the nail on the head. I'm going to say something now, but I can't talk too much about it.
Okay.
But I am going through something quite traumatic at the moment that happened in my past.
Okay.
And it involves it's involving a court case, and I can't say any more than that. But
and
I
is will the
discuss is it with the new team, and I think you've absolutely hit the nail on the head.
So is the sleepwalking and sleep talking, is that happening while this is going on?
Yeah.
Boom. There you go.
Yeah, God.
Unresolved anxiety. That's what that is.
Yeah.
And that's your brain trying to make sense of it, or trying to fix it, or, you know, going back and... That's what that is.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. God, yeah, well done, you.
Thanks very much.
The other quick thing I wanted to speak to you about. I'm sorry.
That's right.
Apparently you spoke about this guy. He's called the most famous man from Loughborough.
The who with the what with the why now?
The most famous man from Loughborough, okay, is called In Bed with Chris Needham. I think you mentioned it. Was it last night or the other day?
Here's the thing. So me and Kath, a little bit of background. We've started this cinema club, the Rabbit Hole Picture Show, October the 27th. We are screening Fright Night, and we've got a great guest to come down who made a documentary about Fright Night. So me and Kath are probably going to do like 10, 15 minutes at the start. We'll get this guy up and just have a chat about what we can expect. Watch the film, have a little break, go out for a fag and all of that. Then come back, have a little group chat about it and get him to talk about what we saw. And you know, so that's happening. The second one, and it might get pushed back a bit because I've left it a bit too late to try. It turns out I've tried to hunt down two quite obscure films. The second one, I want to do a music night. And I'm really trying to find out who owns the rights to Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park, which is an incredible movie. Although we might do the Def Leppard biopics. It's great. But I want to do a B movie. And I want the B movie to be... there was a series in about 1992. And I know because a friend of mine did one.
called Teenage Video Diaries, and it was the BBC Two, and they gave cameras to a load of teenagers, different walks of life, and they filmed it. Really, really interesting series, actually. I'd love to see the whole series again. And one of them, and it became a cult thing, and I've seen it screened at the Barbican. I've had bootleg tapes. Oh, yeah, there was a screening at the Barbican about 15 years ago. But we used to pass bootleg tapes around of it. Chris Needham, who 16-year-old kid who wants to be a rock star, and his band's called Manslaughter, and it is, it's Spinal Tap, but it's real, and it's a 16-year-old kid, and it is incredible. So I'm just trying to find out who owns the rights to that, and I've emailed the BBC, because I'd love to screen that.
Fascinating. My boyfriend played it for me today, and I thought it was a Mickey take.
No.
I thought someone was voicing over, but and I was just going to suggest, wouldn't it be great having him on the programme?
He doesn't like talking about it. I think occasionally he does, but he... I mean, I've not really looked into him for ages. I know he didn't come to the Barbican thing. He said he passed on it. I think he's really embarrassed by it. When actually, and it is—it's embarrassing, man.
But we were all embarrassed in our teens, weren't we?
But I think if he came out and embraced it, he could have a nice—I don't know what he does now, but he could have a lovely little career playing film clubs and things like that. And of course, I'm going—if I can get the rights to it, of course, I'm going to write to him and ask if he'll come on.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, and it shows a lot of teenagers. That's just, it almost reminded me of Adrian Moore slightly.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was angry in his head and he had a war going on in his head.
His dad found his Johnny's, that's why.
Yeah.
The bass player didn't have a bass guitar. But the thing is, ultimately, and spoiler alert, ultimately it's about success, right? Because he actually gets the band together, they actually play a couple of songs at the school disco and people really enjoy it. So it has a triumphant ending. But, you know, and it's just 15, 16-year-old kids looking like idiots, which we all did at that time. It's a great film.
Absolutely. And I'm sure he's a lovely guy now. Yeah. How old do you think he'll be? In his late 40s?
Well, hang on. So he was 16. Catherine, you worked this out. He was 16 in 1992.
Oh, no. All right, so...
20...
So he's a bit older than
26, 26, 32, 40, 50, 42.
Yeah.
42.
Oh, God, he's younger than me. That's terrifying.
He always was, Katie. He always was.
He would have
was.
Been in the year above me at school.
Yeah. Katie, listen, I've got to move on. Thanks very much. Did you want to say something?
No.
All right, I'll cut her off then. Bye-bye. 03444991000. This is Talk Radio.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
I'm not going to block him next. I'm a nice guy. Speaking of blocking, good evening, Mo.
Hey, man.
Hey, man, you want to speak to Nico?
Is he here?
Yeah, I'm here!
Well, that's not very funny, but is he here?
No, he's not here, Mo. The whole Nico having a slot at midnight called It's Wicked was obviously, to anyone with a grain of intelligence, made up.
Why? But wasn't that fun?
Hmm?
His talk was quite fun.
Yeah. How many times did you listen to it?
What do you mean?
You said his slot was quite fun. How many times did you listen to it?
Well, obviously, just when I'm live, not weird, am I? So I just heard it once.
You're mumbling, man. Stop mumbling. What's the mumbling for?
I'm not mumbling. I'm
yes, you are mumbling. We can't hear you. You're mumbling. Midnight, I'm mumbling.
I feel I only heard him once, obviously. Nobody hears radio twice.
I thought, what? Nobody hears radio twice. We're getting into some heavy shiz at 19 minutes past 12 on a Thursday night, Friday morning.
Nobody listens to radio twice.
I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. Quite often I'll listen to the Archers in the evening at 7 o'clock, and then I will listen to that the repeat of that episode the next day at 2 o'clock.
Well, that's quite sad, Ian, to be honest. I thought you were a bit more...
Well, no. Well, sad or not is irrelevant. That's not... It may be sad. The point was, you said no one listens to the radio twice, and I've just proved you wrong. And I probably do it more times, so...
You know what I mean by nobody?
No, I don't know. Here's the thing, Mo. If you're going to use words, use the right ones.
And I was going to say hi to Catherine. Is Catherine in?
Catherine's in. Yeah, she's here with me in the studio right now.
Catherine.
Yep.
At least say hi, I mean,
why?
Out of respect.
I don't have to do anything. I have to... Respect, come on.
Respect.
What do you want?
Just say hi.
Don't tell me what to do.
Well, out of respect, you're a radio presenter. At least learn how to present. I mean, say hi.
Whoa, dude, right. Okay,
Mo, let me tell you something. I've been doing this for 18 years. I decide what I say, and I don't take it from... What? How old are you?
Well, I'm not telling
you. What's your radio show?
He's 17. Hang on.
All right, so wind your neck in.
You stepped in to defend me. You just step back now. My turn to step in. Mo, Catherine is one of the best presenters I've ever worked with. She's certainly one of the best producers I've ever worked with. And you talk about respect. You've got to earn respect, man. I notice you do this, and I wonder if it's an issue with women that you have. You constantly come on, and you have a go at me. All right, it's rude and it's ill-mannered and it's not funny, but it's fine. I'm a big guy and I can take it, right? I don't know, Kath can take it, but it's even nastier. The tone and language you use when you direct it at women is even nastier than when you direct it at me. And I just wondered why that was.
I give you the exact same treatment. I think you're just as good or just as bad, whatever way you like to put it.
Okay, here's the thing, man. I thought
my thing that she can't handle criticism. I think that's you're patronising her.
No, she can. She can handle it, but you're nastier when you do it to her, Mo. You're nastier. So
that's
stop it.
Totally not true.
You're nastier. Stop it, son.
Do you know what I hear, Mo, when you speak?
Yeah.
I hear someone who's bitter and jealous.
Bit of jealous of a talk radio channel that gets about, what, 5 listeners?
And you can't help yourself from ringing in and listening.
Mo, listen, man, I have long argued hard that you should be allowed to come on the show, and I don't want to stop you coming on the show, but I can't work with what you give us. You give us dark energy, you give us bad vibes, you give us negativity, you give me nothing creative. This show is celebratory. It celebrates life and love and art and joy and questions and humanity, and you all you do is take and you insert darkness in the show. And I can't work with that. And I've really tried to get my head around how do I make something out of Mo's call. So I've tried being nice to you. I've tried being silly with you. I've tried trying to out-mean you. And I just can't make it work, Mo. So here's the thing, man, right? You've obviously got an issue with, I don't know, women or with me or with talk radio or whatever. I don't know what it is. I can't work it out.
It's so either, the only show that I so really don't like.
So either, right, well, then stop listening and stop phoning in. If you don't like it, if it's the number one show you don't like, then stop listening and stop phoning in. It's that simple.
Well, then listen to my last call, then.
Good.
No, good.
You're tedious.
It won't be, though. You'll phone in a minute, or you'll phone in tomorrow, or you'll phone in next week, because you're predictable.
You're predictable, Ian.
Okay, well done.
Oh, there you go.
All right, I'll go to your level. I know you are, but what am I?
What do you?
I know you are, but what am I?
You're not the best radio presenter.
I know you are, but what am I? You see, that's the level of argument I'm getting from you, man. That's like, okay, if I want to see an argument like that, I'll go and watch my boys for an hour. Their argument is better than yours. Even their argument is more well thought out and rounded than yours, man. So what? Tell me what. Okay, you don't like the
listeners in you.
Okay, here's the thing. When I'm talking, the compressing system means that people can't hear you. It's not a fader. I haven't got a fader. It's just the compression. It means when I'm talking, my voice dominates because that's the way it works. Right. So you don't like the show. You don't like me. You listen a lot. You phone in to slag off the show. Mo, tell me what you can bring to this show.
I don't want to ban you.
Bannings don't help anyone, but we've wasted 10 minutes.
Because you use me to argue with me. You used to, get more listeners off me.
All right, Mo. Okay, all right. Well, Mo, it's a shame this is your last call, but thanks very much. And you're never gonna call in again, right?
Well, I assume so, yeah.
Okay, I look forward to speaking to you tomorrow, mate.
Well, you miss me.
Also, get a decent phone next time you're calling, because we can't hear a word you're saying.
My phone is better than yours, Ian. £400 worth.
Okay, mate, you've got a better phone than me. Well done. £400, that's cheap for a phone. Okay, son, you've got a better phone than me. Well done. You win the phone measuring contest.
Don't humiliate me.
Mate, you need to say that sentence to yourself.
Anyway, can we ask for work experience this time?
Yeah, sure. When do you want to come in?
Next week.
Oh, Mo, we lost you. I can't work him out.
I can. He's irritating. Honestly, if I had my way, we wouldn't speak to him again. I can't be bothered.
No.
Does nothing. And I don't think it's very good for him either.
Hello, Sam.
Hiya.
Hiya.
You all right?
I'm all right, Sam. How you doing, Sam? You all right?
I'm all right.
What you got for us, man?
Hi, Kath.
Hiya.
We've both got a bit... hiya! Wavy Davy.
All right.
Hiya! What a pair of idiots we are.
Oh, the three of us.
What a trio of... I didn't want to include you in that, Sam, because I don't know you well enough, but yes. What a trio of twats.
The three. I can't pronounce words.
Okay.
I've been having a binge on David Lynch, everything David Lynch.
Okay, go on, because I'm here missing...
Absolutely...
This is why you can't speak. This is why you can't speak, mate.
Has he twisted your melon?
I'm hit and miss with David Lynch. Go on, what have you done?
Oh, well, I was a bit, because I really used to love him, and then I kind of got a bit put off by too much David Lynch. But I started the audiobook, and it's just amazing, and it's just really inspired me to make work, and, yeah.
You cut out, just you said you did what? Was it the book?
Oh, yeah. No, I was listening to an audio book.
Okay, all right, sorry.
About David Lynch.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that started me off on binging on everything David Lynch, and it's just been...
Okay, well, give me the highlights, give me the highlights, and give me the lowlights.
Well, I was just really calling because it's like... Because I like how it's inspired me, really.
Yeah, okay.
So it's like, it's... Yeah.
Are you high? Have you been to Canada today? Are you high on drugs?
No.
I don't believe you, naughty little... You naughty little boy! You've been smoking the fad one?
So, what do you think of David Lynch?
Like I said, hit and miss. I'm trying to think of a David Lynch that... I didn't like that black and white one. I went to the pictures and saw that black and white one. The road, Madison...
Not a race ahead.
Mulholland Drive.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't like that. But I'd like to see it again.
Yeah.
I like the first series of Twin Peaks... I didn't like the second series, and I didn't bother with the third. I don't think I know enough David Lynch to... Did he do the Straight Story?
Yes.
Yeah, I like that.
That's one that I want to see.
He's one of those blokes who needed a letter right home to his mum early doors, but no one ever did.
Oh, did he do Blue Velvet?
Yeah.
That's a film. That is a film. Yeah. That is a film, ooh, man. Blue Velvet. Yes, man. That is a great movie.
It's fantastic. Yeah, but I recommend him anyway. So that's really
well. well done.
He's all right.
Well done, Sam. Thank you for recommending this unheard. What was the name of this director again? Let me write this down.
Well, his name is David Lynch.
David, and how are you spelling Lynch?
L-Y.
Yeah.
N. Yes. A-H.
That's fantastic. I'm going to Google him. I'm going to see if I can get anything on Netflix.
Honestly, I'm giving him a 5.
Oh, thank you, man. Well, so
all right.
Thank you. Okay.
Who inspires you then?
Andy Kaufman. The whole way. But great. How has he inspired you? This is what I was going to ask. Because joking aside,
I make artwork. I've kind of dipped out of life a bit and kind of chucked all my eggs in one basket and decided to become an artist. Well, I've always been a bit of an artist, but decided just to go for it.
So what kind of art?
I make sculptures and I paint.
Wow.
And I draw and I want to make films. So yeah, I do all sorts of things.
And so what were you doing? What did you have to quit? What did you turn your back on to dedicate your life to your muse?
Well, I quit my job 5 years ago and left London and decided, and then kind of 3 years ago I moved away from London to buy a studio and kind of...
Wow. How's it going?
Be an artist.
Are you making a living?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. No.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
I think with me, it's been a confidence thing over, like, I've kind of been building up to this for, like, 20 years, so it's kind of, I've always kind of
put other jobs over my own work.
If we're offered money to do something, we always kind of go, well, you know, that 500 quid will be really handy. This creative thing can wait.
Yeah, exactly. But I decided that the creative thing is probably, well, it's, I can't get away from it, and it's always me, so I've got to. And I don't have any dependents either, so I found myself in life thinking, right, I can take this.
Do you have a website that we could see your art?
Oh, no, I don't at the moment.
Okay, well, that's, Sam, you've recommended something to me. Sam, you've recommended something to me, this David Lynch fella. Let me give you a little tip from someone who knows. I think the internet is really going to take off in the next 18 months. And if anyone wants to sell stuff, that's going to be the place to go. So,
I would do that. Definitely.
Well, good luck, man. I hope it works out for you. As soon as you get a website, give us a call and we'll have a look and we'll plug it.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
Thank you, man. Thanks for the call, brother.
Take care. Again.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sam.
And there you go. After the negativity of Mo, you get a beautiful call like that from someone who's trying to do something a little bit different. It's following the dream.
Yeah.
Following the dream.
Ringing up to talk about something he likes and he cares about and he wants other people to enjoy.
Thank you for that, Sam. I appreciate that. I do need to give Dave... I'd like to watch Mulholland Drive again. I remember watching it at the cinema and going... That's a load of rubbish, but actually, I'd like to watch it again. Blue Velvet, that's a very naughty film, isn't it? That's a naughty film.
I watched the Fire Walk With Me Twin Peaks thing once when I was babysitting. Yeah. Scared the bejesus out of myself.
Yeah.
And it wasn't necessarily the story, it was just the atmosphere of it.
We've been invited by the lady. Here's a list of. We've been invited by the lady, Kate, who got us Morgan Neville, the director. Oh, by the way, that's out as a podcast, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, if you missed the interview with Morgan Neville, the director of Won't You Be My Neighbour, it's out as a podcast. Really good. Anyway, the PR lady, Kate, who's a big fan of the show. Thank you, Kate. She's got us tickets for a screening of a new horror film. And I said, yeah, man, me and Kath will go, because Kath is the best person to watch a horror film. That's because she cacks her pants. I'll check the dates in a second. Zach, stay there. 0344-499-1000, Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. On air and off the leash. On Talk Radio.
0344-499-1000. Ooh, yes, mate. Maybe Thursday the 1st of November at 5:30. We're going to see... Friday the 2nd of November, we're going to see a scary film. Nicolas Cage, that's it.
Oh, my.
Oh, yes, mate. Evening, Zach.
Hello there, Lee.
Hello, Zach. What can I do for you this evening?
Well, I just thought I'd ring you up and tell you how much of a legend you are.
Okay, so much of a legend that you don't even know my name. This is amazing.
Ian Lee.
There we go.
I'll call you Lee. Listen, Ian, we've spoke a couple of times, all right?
Yeah, all right.
I've been following you since the days of Rise. Do you not remember?
I remember Rise, yes. I don't remember you following me.
I'm a DJ. We spoke a couple of times, but I used to get up every morning and absolutely wet myself listening to you on Rise.
Thank you, man. That was one of my favourite jobs.
And then Mel and Phil come on and, well, slightly ruin it.
Well, yeah, that was an odd pairing. Edith Bowman did the first 90 minutes of Rise, and then Mel and Sue came and did the last 30 minutes. So strange old days, strange old pairing, but it was a thrill to work with those two. I like those two a lot.
Yeah, I think the last time we spoke, you said something about Kate Lawler. Because I wrote a tweet and someone...
Oh, you were sexually offensive about Kate Lawler. I remember you. Yeah, and Jamie East got offended. I remember you.
Yeah.
You're the Pizza Express DJ.
No, Wagamama.
You're the Wagamama DJ. Remember this guy? DJs in Wagamamas.
Yeah.
Yes, man!
Is it the Wagamamas in Canada?
No! Oh. I remember you. There we go. That's the yellow card.
Sorry, I didn't realise.
Well, you, young man, you know you can't say the F-bomb on the show.
Sorry, I do apologise, Ian.
OK, you sound a little bit tipsy. You had a good night?
Yeah, I've had a little bit good night. I'm having a McDonald's at the minute.
Beautiful. You can't go wrong with a Mackey. I've told my boys they're coming into the show tomorrow night, so none of that potty language. And I said if they can stay awake on the drive home, we drive past the drive-through McDonald's, and if they're awake, we can get a Happy Meal. And I know that the youngest is going to be asleep. I guarantee that. Saves me money. But my boys are in the studio tomorrow night, so I don't want any bad language from you.
Hey, respectfully, Ian.
Thank you, Zach. All right.
But honestly, I genuinely listen to you, right?
Yep.
Every single night you're on, and I don't know what it is about you, whether it's your personality or the way you deliver.
Sexually, very powerful.
No, but you can describe a basic thing, and it just comes out funny.
Well, let's try it. Okay, let's try it. I'm going to describe a basic thing. You've got to guess what I'm describing, okay? It's long, it's blue, it's translucent in places, it's metal, and you use it to write with. What am I describing?
A bottle.
Yeah, I am. It's a pain, but it is. Yeah. There you go. You're right. Yeah. I can describe things. Okay, Zach. Thank you, man.
See you next time.
Wowzers. Oh, there's loads of stories about. Ghosts. There's a ghost in my house, and it keeps on haunting me. Oh, you know it's haunting me.
What's that face?
That's my
telling you a story face.
Priests. That's
gonna do the music, man.
Oh, by the way, there was a great thing on Radio 4 today about scary music,
yeah.
Right, in films, and particularly about this bit of scary music. This bit. Let's turn the volume up. Particularly about this bit of scary music.
Baby.
I meant this. Sorry. Right, it's a brilliant thing dissecting that, right? That's in, I think that's in 5/4 time. I don't really know my time. So it's dun 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 dun, dun and on alternates between doing that going up and then going down. And then they add the chords in, but the chords are slightly different, slightly the wrong chords. And that's what creates the tension. There we go. It's a great bit of music. Here we go. It's a great bit of music. Anyway, priests are forming so-called Ghostbuster squads. It's better than
forming, who's calling them that?
It's better than forming paedophile rings. So that's they're doing better there. Well done, guys. Amid claims, demonic possession cases are on the increase. Churchmen. I've heard of church mice, but churchmen? Churchmen are getting special training to help them perform exorcisms. Father Pat Collins, an Irish exorcist from Somerset, said every bishop should have trained priests in their diocese. Okay. He says he regularly gets messages asking for help with demons. Father Collins said, from Ireland, nearly every day of the year, I receive an email or phone call from desperate people who feel oppressed by the Eiffel Tower, evil spirits who believe that their home or workplace is haunted in one way or another. It's not bad. It's not bad. B plus.
Well, come on.
B minus. He claimed one incident involved a young girl who shouted out the sins of someone in the room. In scenes eerily similar to the 1974 film The Exorcist, the child called out in a man's voice.
Mm. Your mother sucks jelly babies in hell.
Bishop Alphonsus Cullinan of Waterford and Lismore in the Republic of Ireland said, I'm from Ireland, Eiffel Tower.
No, Republic of Ireland.
The priest had warned the four guys.
No, they don't talk like that.
He's moved! The priest had warned the four guys to make sure they'd gone to confession.
One guy didn't want to go to confession, and the girl with the voice that was not hers, a male voice that was coming out of her, actually called out the sins of the guy who'd not been to confession. So that's kind of scary stuff.
The bishop warned strict guidelines need to be followed when setting up a Ghostbuster squad. He said, we're finding our feet in this area. It's something that there are more and more requests coming in for. It's a tricky area because we all know that ghosts are bollocks. There's another ghost story in a minute, but... Oh, now, Okay. Sick Halloween costumes, including a zombie bursting from a pregnant woman. Right, this is the opening sentence of this story. So this is headline. Headline, zombie mom costume fury. First sentence. Sick Halloween costumes include... Oh, it does make sense. Sick Halloween costumes include a zombie bursting from a pregnant woman. Okay, it's fine. I would be slightly sensitive about wearing it around, but it's not the worst thing. Online store eCrater was selling a sexy burka outfit for $24.95, while the retailer Hollywood... Wow. Gosh. ...was selling a Taliban costume, complete with fake beard and a bomb. Taliban don't do that anymore! It's ISIS! A seller on eBay was flogging a serial killer straitjacket. Sue Baker of Mental Health Campaign, Time to Change, said, depicting mental illness in this way feels some of us. Okay, right. The sexy burka. Now, I would not look at this and think this was in any way a burka. Maybe this is the thing. It is, and it's sexy, right? But, I'm about to show it to Catherine. To me, that looks like one of the hot women in, like, the Alibaba kind of world. I wouldn't take this as a slur against Islam. Would you? I say that's a sexy Alibaba lady.
Oh. I hope she's got matching knickers on.
Well, have you seen Holly Willoughby in the tight latex? Jeez. Jesus.
I think the fact that it's black is what makes it...
Were you talking about the woman?
No. No, but it's a black veil rather than sort of...
It's a veil more than a burqa, isn't it? It's a veil.
Yeah.
It's a veil. It's a veil. I love these stories every year. There was one the other day about someone was a... Mums are furious that they were selling a zombie Michael Jackson outfit. He's a zombie now.
Well, also, look...
You can't even deny that. He's a zombie.
People sell all kinds of crap online. You find something to be offended about.
Someone is selling a breadboard that I signed. It's up to £23. Here's another one. Then we'll have a little break. Then you can come in. It's time for Kath's... Well, it's a feature that we're calling Kath's period. And then what? I realised that it was actually... That sounds inappropriate. But what I meant is her period of the show to shine. And it's too late to change it now. So after we come back, we're going to do Kath's period. It's a feature...
I don't really
like it. It's your show. I know. It's thing is, it's locked in now. So we're stuck with that. And I just thought it was a great... And I didn't think it through. And I said it to someone. They went, oh, it could mean... Oh, I've not thought of that. It means it's your period of the show to shine. So it's kind of Kath's period of the show.
I'm showing.
Yep.
Period.
No.
Spotting.
No, you've misunderstood. It's not about anything to do with your body. It's to do with your talent. But it's your period of the show to shine. Show us what you got in terms of news stories. Don't worry about it.
Can we...
Spooked? No. It's too late now. Locked in now.
You haven't got a jingle.
Yes, I have. Spooked staff have called Ghostbusters...
Who are you going to call? That was a real one. Serves you right.
Staff. Oh, this story is not going to be anywhere near as good as that line, is it?
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Busy day tomorrow, but I might stream some video games tomorrow afternoon. I've not played any video games for a while, so I might do that if you want to join me. Ian.
Do you want to escape from prison?
No, because your internet is rubbish. Seriously, can you sort that out? Because we play games together online and stream them on my YouTube channel. But Your internet keeps dropping out. You need
digging up the roads or something.
No, it's not that. You need to phone up Virgin or whoever it is and say, can you sort it out? That's what you need to do. Say to them.
It's Uncle Rupert's lot.
Okay, right. Well, fine. Well, you need to phone them up and say, I'm having trouble streaming. I'm having trouble playing online games. Can you sort it out?
No, they'll fix it.
No, they won't. They'll fix it. They'll probably flush it their end.
Okay.
That's what they do. So give them a call tomorrow. And if you get it sorted out, phone them first thing in the morning. Having trouble playing.
I'm not in charge of the Sky thing. I'll have to get.
Okay, mate. Well, whatever. I really couldn't give a shit.
My assistant to do it.
Paul Ross will be on at 1 o'clock. So I'll be streaming games on my own tomorrow because Catherine can't be bothered to sort the internet out. What's the time for cast period? What have you got?
9 real life exorcisms.
Here we go. Let's get that. Let's get the spooky, spooky music.
Baby.
Here we go.
Perhaps one of the most terrifying exorcism cases in history, Annalisa Michael's story, went on to inspire the 2005 film The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Well, then.
Did you hear that noise?
Nope.
Michael, a young German woman, had struggled from an
Michael?
Early age. Yeah. Annalise Michael.
Don't call her Michael if it's a lady.
They're calling her Michael. I'm just reading it out, mate. I've not written this stuff because I know it's bunkum.
Okay, all right. Hunkum bunkum.
Michael, a young German woman with a boy's name as her surname, had struggled from an early age with mental illness.
Right.
Diagnosed with epileptic psychosis, she also experienced depression and visual and auditory hallucinations for which she was hospitalised.
Okay.
With time, her symptoms intensified, growing to include an aversion towards religious iconography.
Mm-hmm.
Both she and her Catholic family attributed her condition to demonic possession, as you would.
Okay, not mental health. It's demons.
And beginning at 22, she underwent an intense 10 months of Catholic exorcism rites. Nearly 70 exorcisms were performed in secrecy under the order of the church. In July 1976, oh God, Michael passed away. An autopsy declared her death was the result of emaciation, malnutrition and starvation at the hands of her priests and her family.
So you're telling me about mentally ill people who've been abused by priests?
Yeah.
Okay.
God.
And God.
They'd discontinued consultations with doctors. The family and priests involved were investigated.
What country was this?
Germany.
Well, they're full of perverts.
Charged with negligent homicide and found guilty of manslaughter, serving... Wow. 6 months in jail and 3 years probation.
Okay.
Flipping it.
Let's get them on the show. Sound like great guys.
Here's another one.
Okay, good. That's what the pause was for.
Anna Eklund.
Anna Eklund. I'm Germany.
Often said to include speaking in tongues and strange guttural voices, yeah. Levitating and clinging to bedroom walls, disturbed thoughts and revulsion of holy objects and sacred spaces, Eklund's possession spans several decades, beginning in 1912 when she was just 14 years old. Her case was so well known that it served as the basis for a time profile of the priest in charge of her exorcism, Father Theophilus Reisinger. Anna's demonic possession was reportedly the result of a curse put on the devout Catholic in 1908 by her caretakers, her father and her aunt Mina. Mina was widely believed to be the lover of Anna's father as well as a witch who used spelled herbs in Eklund's food to put her under the demon's spell. Father Karl Vogel penned an account of Anna's possession in a pamphlet published in 1936 called... Begone, Satan! A soul-stirring account of diabolical possession in Iowa. The first exorcism performed on Eklund in 1912 was successful for a time, but Eklund would be possessed again by even more demons in 1928.
It's come to us all.
Her second exorcism, which lasted 3 sessions, was held at a convent in Erling, Iowa, and was so grueling it resulted in the deterioration of Eklund's body. The demons were eventually exorcised, and Eklund went on to live her life with only milder possessions after. I know your mum.
So do I. What a lady. Where's the mail? He didn't bother.
bringing it in. You didn't feel like bringing it in?
I didn't feel like bringing
That's
it in.
That's fine. Didn't feel
it wasn't in the pile. Do you want me to go and fetch it?
Nah, we've got 5 minutes left. Paul Ross will be in to bang on about his show and show off about all the hard work he's done in a few minutes. So I'm not going to waste any content on the slackers that listen to talk radio at 1:58.
Do you want to know about the Smells poltergeist?
No, I don't. Those are the worst stories. I don't want to look over your shoulder because I'm getting a vibe that there's something over there.
You see?
Stay at that. Stay at that's a nice shirt. You got some of the best, and I'm going to say it.
Pazuzu.
Some of the worst shirts in show business. there's never any shirt I'm indifferent about with you.
There's no middle ground with
the
me.
The old inspires strong feelings.
It's always ooh, and that one is a definite ooh.
You've admired this one before. This is an old fave. I've got a button-down version as well, similar.
Hey, listen, Paul, you've got to be feeling good. It's the last show of the week for you. The weekend begins in a few hours.
But I miss you guys. He lied unconvincingly.
Get out of here. Are you doing anything nice this weekend?
What am I doing this weekend? Oh, yeah, I'm seeing one of my daughters, which is lovely. Seeing a new place. She's moved to kind of Hackney Way, Stoke Newington with a boyfriend, so I'm going up there, which will be lovely.
Very, very nice.
Yep, very nice, yep.
Because my kids are kids. I've got my boys coming this weekend. When you go and see, like, your grown-up kids, do they, like, cook you a nice meal? Or are you there, like, putting up shelves and doing the dads?
I'm not doing that too much.
Right.
But, where I've visited them before, they've been students. This is the first time one's
grown
up. So I'm not sure what to expect.
Isn't that exciting? Yeah. Wow.
I'd like to take them out. I don't want to sit there and look at their dingy old flat, do I? Nice restaurants. I'm earning money. What's the matter with them?
She thinks you're treating her, but really it's because you don't want to sit in her hovel.
a little bit. That'd be lovely. That'd be wicked. We had an item on last night on the show, yesterday morning, and I thought of both of you about some koalas coming to Longleat.
Yeah.
Come next spring with two hairy-nosed wombats for the first time in the south of England. There's some in Edinburgh.
Wow.
And they're building a koala habitat. It's a must-go-to for the kids, isn't it, don't you think?
I love
Who doesn't love a koala bear?
They the males have musk in their chests. They're brown stain on their chest, and they rub up and down.
Ruined your shirt, didn't it?
Ruined a shirt of mine, yeah, brand-new shirt.
Although apparently many of them now in Australia, sadly, are riddled with chlamydia.
Yeah, dirty buggers. I found out the hard way.
Phone call 2 weeks later.
Ghostbusters. That was a good gag. I'm having that one. That's mine now. I'm putting that in the biscuit tin.
What is on your show tonight? I don't want to know about what's on yesterday's show. I don't know what's on tonight's show.
On tonight's show, we've got the usual old Josh. We're also talking a bit of ghostbusting because there's lots of stuff coming up for Halloween. We had our man on last night for the Archives of the Afterlife.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was a challenge. Interesting fella.
Okay,
interesting guy. I said, is there any items you're scared of? He said, no. He said, I've got my item I'm proudest of. And it was the cap from the former Wisconsin electric chair, old Sparky. And I said to him, how many lives have that claimed? And he said, a magic number, 9.
What time was that on? Because I wouldn't mind checking that out.
I don't think you want that in your head. He had other issues as well, I think, the guy. But he was a fascinating bloke. Other things going on.
They're the best guests, man.
He's an ordained minister and he's an expert in demonology and exorcism and stuff.
His whole life.
And when he was growing up, his brother was constantly attacked by malevolent forces. So it was a longish conversation.
But we're
talking about a jollier ghost hunting thing to that, which is happening in Nottinghamshire when they're going around and they go out and have a few drinks. And halfway through the night, they have a few drinks, you turn up, you're in your inclusive ticket, which is £28, get a couple of drinks. Halfway through the night, they break up fish and chips.
Oh, there you go.
That's a way to interrupt a ghost. That would have calmed down Pazuzu in The Exorcist, wouldn't it?
Yeah, totally.
Fancy some fish and chips?
Yeah.
You want a little bit of gherkin on the side, pickled egg?
You can't terrify people when you've got greasy fingers.
No.
You can't. Oh, that sounds all right.
So we're doing that as well. I'm also talking TV with Mike Ward. It's a kind of Strictly Come Dancing weekend. And we're going to be hearing from Craig Revel Horwood, who's Char-Char Charming.
Okay.
So lots on the show.
All right. I think those scumbag cheaters should carry on dancing and get voted out when they don't do a good enough dance. I think that's what they should do.
That was such a... Talk about storming a teacup.
So someone kissed someone they weren't meant to. Oh, well.
It was the front of the Daily Telegraph and the Times. I know we shouldn't expect more from those papers, sometimes do, don't we, you know?
Isn't it funny? I mean, to make those... Everybody, all four people involved in the immediate... You know, the couple and the husband and the girl... All of them, just to have that on the front page. A kiss.
The Telegraph has always got form on that, because my first job in papers, my then editor said to me, I was reading something like The Sun, he said, no, he said, if you want to read smart, he said, read The Telegraph, because they quite literally print any kind of dodgy court case, every cough and quite literally spit.
Yeah.
Page 3 of The Telegraph. That's why all the lads read it on the way into work.
Paul Ross will be on at 1 o'clock. It's his last show of the week, and he normally saves the best until the end of the week.
It's my last show ever on the station.
Hey, controversial.
I've just decided.
Good, good. Good. It's about time we got some talent in. Paul Ross is always worth a listen. Thank you, Catherine.
Welcome.
Okay. Oh, there's the attitude.
Oh, no. Thank you, Ian.
Thank you. That's it. You're welcome. I'm happy to give people an opportunity. Sam, thank you very much indeed. Although you've got your coat on and looks like you're ready to dash out. That's rude. That creates a negative vibe
the
for me.
The bell is for me and not for you.
You are a bell. We podcasts are plenty, guys. There's the rabbit hole. Did you put a new rabbit hole up?
No, you've still got the thingy.
Okay, right. Again, it's my fault.
Yes.
And
so it actually
not,
is,
right,
though.
Okay, you're in it.
Is that like technical speak? You've still got the thingy.
Yes, yes. It's very technical. We will be back tonight at 10. Stay tuned. Paul Ross is up after the news. This is Talk Radio.